Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
This week's Sunday session is brought to you by Home Brewing's source of awesomeness online. More Beer at morebeer.com.
Great beer is about drinkability. Doesn't matter the style.
You guys are like walking beer Wikipedia.
That's the first time that you've ever accepted me as a person.
Or you have a fermentation in your gut.
Yeah. I'm jet propelled at all times.
How many guys do you think that you have the privilege to slap?
Somebody who's never tasted a commercial example, and this is how you know everything about this beer? Please, you don't.
I think it's bullshit.
I think it's bullshit too.
Wow. Are you guys going to arm wrestle?
No.
We're going to teabag fight.
You heard of Junkyard Wars?
No. Can I get another high?
Now, live from the Brewing Network Studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us here and coming on into the Hop Grenade for a live session. It's only our third show or something. Ever.
I think you're right.
From the Hop Grenade, that is.
I think that's correct.
And it is officially, we keep adding things to Mondays. Last week, for example, was Metal Monday. And we continued the Metal Monday tradition here today. But it's also Mead Monday. So it's Metal and Mead Monday. Things you'd never think would go together.
I think they actually kind of go together.
They do?
I think so.
Why?
Well, metal is, Nordic and,
I see.
You know.
In nature.
Yeah, it's like, you know, sacrificing goats, drinking a lot of blood, and then, you know, drinking mead out of the skulls of your enemies.
And then, that makes sense to me.
Thank you.
So mead is now the new beverage of metal.
Right.
And we're
doing
that
today.
Well,
it was the beverage of, like, the Middle Ages, right? Isn't what most of the time they drank mead or something?
I think so.
Sure.
Yeah. And it will get you crunk, I'll tell you that right now. And
yeah.
We've got mead available right here at the Hop Grenade. Not that you should consume it for that purpose. But I'm just saying that you should be aware of the higher alcohol content of the beverage. We have some great mead available tonight. I think we'll bring some into the studio from our good friends over at Moonlight Meadery.
Ah,
good guy.
Yeah, Michael Fairbrother. We bought some of their mead to serve here at the Grenade. So if you've never had it before, I recommend trying it. A lot of people come in and ask us for wine, right? But we don't do wine. It's not our thing.
Hmm.
And we haven't had mead in yet. Now at least we can answer, well, we don't have wine, but we think you should try this.
We don't have grape wine, but we have honey wine.
Honey wine.
And barley wine, for that matter.
And we do have barley wine. Did I tell you that happened once already here?
No, really?
Yeah, a couple came in, and the girl... you know, ordered a barley wine. I think I knew her or something, or I have met her before, and I was talking to her, and she had a glass of it, and she goes, you know, by the way, this is wrong, and she's holding the glass out to me. And I said, oh, did we give you the wrong beer? And she's like, no, I didn't order the beer. I ordered wine. And I was like, well, it's definitely wrong then, because we don't sell any wine. And she's like, but it says wine. And I went, oh, got it. You ordered the barley wine. And she thought it was wine.
Instead of the grape wine.
That's unfortunate.
We don't have any grape wine.
Was there a space between the word barley and wine?
She's a girl.
Because that might be a little confusing, but if it's run together,
then I think it was together. I think we had one on tap, and I think it was together. Mm. It was barley wine.
Well,
I found it interesting.
So what'd you do, kick her out?
Yeah.
No, good.
I was like, you're an idiot. You should leave.
Yeah. She's How dare somebody, you learn new things?
She's definitely someone I could take advantage of.
Yeah, you have to know all 81 beer styles to
this
come
is
in
really
this
a safe place, is it? You don't educate here.
Why would you want to?
Well, you have to have at least come up to the bar level to even start.
No, we do want to educate. It's just my attitude that's bad. When we hired everybody, I said, yeah. I said, listen, we're not a beer snob bar. You need to be a Kim Shimke's in the studio, by the way. I said, you know, you need to be able to educate people. And so I made it a standard. But there's a whole lot of do as I say, not as I do in this establishment.
Weird.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this before.
Kevin figured it out really quick. He's like, we definitely have to give a disclaimer to everybody to not do as you do and instead do the things that you say. Because I say a lot of nice things.
And
I say a lot of good things. I have a lot of good standards.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm kind of a slob and a drunk. So the rest of it is me roaming around like that.
It's true. At least you're not a drunk slob.
Yeah.
You're both of those things separately.
That's true.
Yeah. When you're drunk, you're super neat.
And clean.
Yeah. You shower, you clip your nails. It's really nice.
Yeah, when I'm sober is when I'm a mess. It's absolutely true.
Alcohol induces hygiene.
Yeah, it's like Popeye with that spinach.
For him.
Yeah.
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 So sometimes we have to get him drunk. Maybe once a month.
Just to get me to shower.
Yeah.
To get me
you
to.
You got shit to do. Oh, I really don't feel like consuming a beverage right now. I'm totally fine in my personal space right now.
Well, yeah, when I'm sober, you know, I can't be bothered. I've got other things to do. Who's got time to shower?
Not me.
Who's got time for hygiene? Not this guy. So it's not, I slow down when I drink, and then I'm like, oh, you know what would be nice this month? Is a shower. So that's how that goes.
Has Kate lost her sense of smell yet?
I think so. Okay. She must have because it's been years, and she's still around.
Yeah.
So
maybe she's lost and doesn't know where to go.
Could be.
She just can't
like
figure out.
Like lost in the world?
Yeah, or like on a map. Like she doesn't know where she would go to get out of, you know, where would
of
she move
anywhere.
To?
Right. She's just stuck.
She's like, I don't know where to go.
And then I reinforce that by telling her, nobody wants you. You're stuck.
The world is actually only about 200 miles wide. Yeah, so it's, you're not going to go anywhere. I can't get to you.
It's from Martinez to Concord. That is the world. This is the world that you have available to you.
That's as far as her passport will get her.
Right.
That's right. Yeah, she's not too bright, that one. She listens to everything.
It's kind of like Caleb and Amber's relationship. You know what I mean? Caleb was very dominating, and Amber's just like, oh, okay, well, I'll do whatever. And then
who are these people?
She's going to go home. Don't be dumb, dude. Come on, seriously.
What are we talking about? Is this a Jersey Shore reference?
It's Big Brother, dude. You don't.
Oh, the other Jersey Shore.
Right. I don't know. You and I stay up late at night chatting in the live feed.
I've never once seen a Big Brother before.
That's not true.
So is it Big Brother? When I start talking about stupid stuff, you turn my microphone off. But JP's allowed to do it as much as he wants.
Good question.
JP's a man.
That's rude.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's
right.
Just give him more rope. I think he just cuts you off for your own good.
Right, I'm saving you from yourself.
It's called showing them up.
It's a good
they
point.
They can't handle that.
That's true, right? I love her.
What do you mean by they?
Yeah, that's racist. Actually,
let's not go there.
White
yes,
male.
I mean you too, Scott.
We met you people, actually.
Yeah, great.
We meet everybody.
You guys.
Great. It's just Evo and I that are superior. That's what we're talking about.
Clearly.
I find that sexist.
I'm not going to talk about this.
We're playing up
sexy.
To the... There are large forum threads about us being sexist and... occasionally racist.
Sexy. What's wrong with being sexy?
I'm not buying any of it.
I will say I have worked with these gentlemen for about a month now, and they're all great. They're assholes to everybody, so it's not
right.
Just female.
I'll give you that.
Thank you, Kim.
Yeah, it is everybody.
That's a good observation.
Yeah.
I appreciate you sticking up for
us. They don't single anybody out.
It's not so much sticking up for you as it is legitimizing and like reinforcing why I'm actually here, so
right.
People don't look down on me being a part of the BS.
No, you'll
so really,
be
I'm just covering my own ass right now.
See, that's the thing. Thinking about it, it's really listeners who feel this way that have the double standard because, yeah, they're like, they feel sorry for you. Like, why would you work with those guys? God, well, you can't get another job. We feel so sorry for you. It's like Kate at a wedding, all right? When we go to weddings, right? Because I'm not married and there's, who knows if that's ever going to happen on this plane of existence. But the guys at weddings come up to me and they're like, yeah, cool, bro. You know, it's like, hi.
Single forever.
Yeah. Like, it's not that I want or encourage that, but that's, but that's how it goes. And, but women to Kate, she gets, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, it'll happen one day. I'm
for
sorry.
You.
And they like she gets sympathy.
And Kate's like, I have a cat. I don't care.
Yeah,
fine.
I mean, talk about double standard. I'm getting high fives, and she's getting sympathy.
Yeah,
should be the other way. She should be getting sympathy if
or,
I did.
Or double sympathy.
That is a 180. That is interesting.
So that's sexism for you, if you ask me. Why can't a woman just... Why is it okay for me not to be married, but it's not okay for her not to be
because
married?
Because if women do it to other women, it's not sexist. But if men do it to women, it's sexist. Right. Somehow.
I see.
But you should just stop going to weddings.
I agree. Because the pressure gets turned especially up every
your,
time.
Yeah. Especially yeah, just your tear own. The invitations up.
Or
just,
I swear that girl's caught more bouquets than Willie Mays has caught.
The single ones.
Yeah. Well, the ones that are never going to get married.
Yeah. Taryn and Kate should start a pity club.
Yeah. I think you're right. All right. Let's get down to it because we got a lot to do today, and I want to make sure we get through it. Like I said, it's Mead Monday, so we're going to be talking about mead today. We've got our good friend Kurt Stock on the show,
yeah.
A great home brewer of mead who will give us some techniques. He's going to kind of give us the rundown about what mead is and the different kinds. In fact, I believe that doesn't Moonlight Meadery brew one of Kurt's recipes?
I believe so.
Isn't
no,
Kurt's?
No. Kurt's apple pie is not.
It's not Kurt
no.
Stock's?
No.
Oh, that's are we sure?
I think we're sure because I feel like Michael has been saying that a couple times.
Okay.
It's not Kurt.
It's not the Kurt.
But it might be.
Because I only know one Kurt.
Usually when we're talking to him, we're hammered on mead. So I can't really like, remember a whole lot.
And we're like, nah, it's Kurt's doc. It's fine.
It's all right.
Anyway, so we got
and
Kurt.
He gets royalties.
Moonlight's Kurt is with a K and Mr. Stock is with a C.
Oh, okay.
So probably not the same person.
Got it. All right. Well, we've got Kurt Stock on, and then we've also got our friend Susan Rood on the show, and she is opening a meadery very soon, actually. So Prairie Rose Meadery is her project, and we're going to talk to her about what it's like to open a commercial meadery. And mead's becoming more popular now, just like everything craft right now, so it's kind of interesting to see that segment rise. I think Moonlight's kind of at the top of it right now, selling a lot of mead.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen him at several weddings.
You have, yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of mead now at weddings.
Yeah, lots of mead.
They're establishing a distribution for it, for sure. I mean, you know, all the places that he's got mead, new meaderies can just, you know, start going into those same distributors.
Yes. Yeah. He's breaking the ground. So that's what we'll be doing today. And then let me get through just a couple of announcements for you. And then we're going to talk to Kim Schimke about the Ales for ALS event.
That we are.
That I got to go to also. It was a good time this weekend. But let me let you know about this. So we've been open now for, I guess, just under a month. And we're ready to have our grand opening. We waited to not to open the doors with the grand opening so we didn't screw everything up. And now instead we're going to throw a big party. It's coming up next Sunday, actually. Sunday, August 3rd. It's going to be from 2 to 6 right here at the Hop Grenade. We'll be open later than that, but the actual festivities. The mayor of Concord is coming out. Mayor,
wow.
Mayor Grayson, he's going to come out and cut a ribbon for us.
He's going to cut big scissors and the whole ribbon?
I hope so. Do I have to provide those items?
No, the mayor will bring that.
Are you sure?
Oh, it's got to be those big
scissors. Just bring one. He's not cutting shit.
Yeah, you don't get to cut anything.
It's got to be a standard issue mayor item.
You think scissors. So, right?
Like, yeah. They give you.
Well, they got a closet full of those scissors.
Or, and the big key?
And are we getting the key to the city too, Doc? Do I not know about this?
I think the key to the city is just a latch and an eye hook, like a gate.
Because it's Concord?
Yeah.
Because
you can't keep anybody in or out.
Right.
All right. There you go.
Well, so check this. I like our mayor. He's a good guy. But it's an interesting system here in Concord. You don't get elected mayor. You get elected to the city council, and then the city council rotates. So if you're on city council, I guess you automatically get to be mayor eventually.
Yeah. For like 2 years, right? Or is it 1 year?
I think it's two.
All right.
So I'm thinking I should run for city council. That sounds doable.
I don't know why not.
Yeah, because you're not busy enough.
Yeah. I don't have to do anything, do I?
We wouldn't have the power to be in here in Concord. Okay. Well, maybe we would, actually.
I mean, I go to a couple ribbon cuttings. No big deal.
I want you to sit through one city council meeting. I've sat through many, many of them.
They're bad, right?
Oh, my God.
Can you bring beer in?
No, you gotta show up drunk.
I'm out.
I think you are the beer.
But it's just boring, and it just goes on and on. And
my
town works the same way. It's they rotate it in, kind of thing.
Yeah,
a lot of places either the town council runs the city or the mayor runs the city.
Oh, okay,
it's one or the other. But the other one is where you got the rotating thing in.
Okay,
and they have all the crap that goes on in the city. Somebody's got a beef about somebody leaving their trash cans out too long.
That goes to the mayor or what?
It goes, well, if they pushes up so far.
Because I have some issues.
It's got to be in front of the town council. You got to listen to the guy diatribe about the trash can thing for like 45 minutes.
All right.
Yeah, you can't cut them off.
Well, maybe I won't run that.
But I think you have to live
Wait a minute.
I think I could win.
I think beer is going to make put Concord on the map. Maybe you should run. You would have an easy victory, I'm thinking.
But you need
here's
to,
the problem.
You need to live, within the city. I don't think you can live in Martinez and sit on the city council for Concord.
I heard that. I could just use Scott's address or
Absolutely.
Something.
Absolutely.
Sure.
That's how kids go to school in good and, like, isn't it the same?
I could just I don't have kids nor live in a good neighborhood.
Pretty sure if I stay there like one night a month, it's fine.
Call them grandma's house.
Martinez will be my vacation home, and I just happen to spend a lot of time at my vacation home.
No, it's closer to the coast.
There's one. There is one chink in my armor, though. There's a problem.
Wow.
And that is that.
Well, those felonies. Yeah, I remember that.
Well, there's pretty much all of my dirty laundry is on a recording somewhere on this website.
Yeah,
that's true.
I mean, there I have said some horrible things.
I can think of. Well, that's two or three. You will not get elected because
you're
going to run on that platform.
Oh, yeah. I am.
No, you're that's what. People.
No,
yeah,
I see.
All these other assholes.
Yeah, it's called the Zero Fucks campaign.
Right.
Yeah, you have a great following. There's more than there are the old people that sit home and like.
I'm like the next. What's the Toronto mayor guy I like so much?
Rob Ford.
I love this man.
You got national coverage.
Rob Ford's brilliant. I could start doing crack if it'll get me elected.
Yeah.
But just a little.
Yeah. Like, well, no, just recreationally.
You can't, like one
you,
hit.
You can't do
you
little
crack. You should say you should stop doing crack to get elected.
Oh, I see. It's the opposite. Not if I'm a man of zero fucks.
Right.
You could run under the platform transparency.
Aha.
It works for Obama.
See, that even sounds
Yeah, you're an open book.
Code just asked me to tell you that he's currently scrubbing all of your dirty laundry.
Great.
Right now.
Excellent.
No,
and
no,
I'm pretty sure that Shimke should be my campaign manager. She's doing fine already.
Pretty good, right?
She's already coming up with the idea.
Huh. When is it election year? Is it election year now?
I don't know.
Maybe I should run while we're hot.
We might need like to learn politics or something.
Any of the other idiots know him.
Good point.
I can work here. I'll back you.
Doc's my consigliere.
Exactly.
Okay.
Consigliere.
Thank you.
He's your
what is this, the Rare Barrel Show?
Do I have to learn to speak as well?
Maybe, sort of.
You speak better than any other.
No.
All right. We'll see who does the best speech on when you cut the ribbon. And you are the mayor. I'm betting on you. I'm going to be there.
All right.
Recording this.
Okay, so Sunday, August 3rd, it's this upcoming Sunday, admission is free. We're going to give, after the ribbon cutting, there'll be a free toast that we're doing with a special Heretic beer, and a free appetizer made by our good friend, the homebrew chef, Sean Paxton. He's making a beer-infused, just a small plate appetizer so that we can have it along with our toast. And we've got room for 200 people to do that. So the first 200 will get the free toast and the appetizer. And then people can come on in and out all day long. There's going to be brewers from around the bay here, some special beers on tap, and us hanging out to have a good time.
So it's like a toast point and then an appetizer?
I think so.
It's
like hop dust on one side, and then an invisible made three ways appetizer crustini on the other side.
Oh wow!
Yeah, all three.
Wow,
it's very filling.
Paxton turns this whole shit upside down, dude.
Yeah.
Turns it on his head. Turns the whole industry around.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. So did you invite the whole town council?
I did. The whole city council is invited, and we're working with them now on whether or not they actually want to be here.
Well, you can point to one thing.
Well, you know what?
You're out.
Yeah.
I got your spot.
My dad got to meet the mayor while he was here. The mayor happened to have come in while my dad was here.
Yeah.
Made my dad very proud. Made me look like a big deal. I was like, him? Oh, that's Timmy. Old Timmy Grayson? Yeah, we go way back.
TG and the Heasel.
Yeah, that was a nice moment for my dad. And then I gave the mayor $20 for coming in. It was cool.
Appearance fee.
Yeah. Okay, so that's coming up on Sunday. We'll let you know more about it on our social media networks. An invite will be going out tomorrow, I believe, so you'll get all the details. But please come see us. Come hang out with us. You can support the show by doing your Amazon shopping. Just hit the Amazon link on our homepage, and that's a great way to do it. A lot of you do it, and we appreciate it. Do we have an Amazon product of the week?
Yeah. Forgive me. It's the Medela Contact Nipple Shield Standard Size.
Nipple shield.
Yeah. I'm not forgiving you.
For latch-on difficulties or flat and inverted nipples to help continue breastfeeding.
Oh.
It's clear plastic.
Kim, why are you shaking your head like you know all about this?
I don't know. I really don't. I felt like I should
expert.
When...
I see. I thought you were like, Kim, you kind of had to look like I'm wearing one right now.
Do they come in sizes? Like, you know,
Steve? Well, that's why.
They don't. It's all just one size.
Oh, really? Oh, it's a standard size. So
I don't see how one size could fit all. Yeah. I've seen a lot of nipples.
Maybe they do. I've only ever seen
day.
One.
I think it only goes over the business part of the nipple,
which don't vary quite as much.
Yeah, well, it does.
No, it's actually very wide. Never mind.
Bevo, did your areolas ever shrink back? Didn't you say they got like frisbee sized at one point?
No, Sam drunkenly said that.
Oh.
That's a frisbee. I can cut it off and throw it to the dog.
Can the whole bar like hear this? Because it's just a little embarrassing.
No, absolutely.
But they'll never see you. You're behind a glass.
Should I Instagram this product?
Yes.
To the BN?
Yes. Things go back to how they were.
Okay. Well, that's
promising. All you had to do was say yes.
Yes.
You made this whole thing and draw a lot of attention to yourself, and you just had to say yes.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Okay,
well,
great.
Thank you for buying it, and good luck with the breast.
Thanks, everybody, for using the Amazon link.
Excellent. All right, get all these updates and more over on Twitter, and send your show ideas over to Scott the Jew. That's scott@thebrewingnetwork.com. Send your feedback to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. Do we have a Twitter game today?
Yes.
Twitter game is brought to you today by our good friends at Adventures in Homebrewing. Good people who support this show. Go check them out, Adventures in Homebrewing. What's our game?
Well, as you may or may not know, there's going to be a lot of changes to the BGCP style guidelines very soon. I believe Gordon Strong, old Gordo, as I like to call him when we're hanging out, Skyping.
Gordo.
He's accepting everyone's thoughts and opinions and input on how to change the styles for the better. So I thought we should enter our hat in the BGCP style guideline change-a-rooney and have a BN style.
Oh, like a whole style.
We need a whole category, a whole style of beer based on all the terrible advice we give people month in and month out.
I like this idea.
So I would like for you to describe the new beer, the new BN beer style.
Okay.
What would it be?
What would it be? Those guidelines got released, right?
They got released, but I don't think that they're solidified yet. He's still asking for input and stuff like that, because there's a lot of categories getting smushed into other things and expanded and all this kind of crap. And
okay,
you know,
do these include sub styles? So we have like 15A, B, and C.
Oh, up to you. I believe whatever you want. Yeah, it could be just one straight across if you want.
No, I think we need sub styles.
We'll take. Yeah, I agree. We'll take all of it.
Absolutely.
But, it's only 140 characters, so right. You know. All right, so that's the Twitter game for today. And Bevo will send you a prize if you win. We encourage you to play. You can play along right here at the bar if you want. Just tweet to Brewing Network.
Yeah.
What would our beer style be?
All right.
Let's talk to Kim Shimke about the Ales for ALS event we went to on this past Saturday.
At Faction
Brewing Company in Alameda. Yep. Yeah. How did you like the event, Kim?
Oh, my God. It was amazing. Everyone from the Bay Area, it seemed like, that's in the beer scene, was there. It was fantastic. I know you came out, Justin. Tasty was there. It was so much fun. Great local breweries. Also, quite a bit of Southern California breweries that we don't often see up here at festivals, such as Alpine. So that was pretty special. Also, there was Noble, which had some notable beers.
Mm-hmm. Beechwood, right?
Beechwood was there. Yep. Eagle Rock as well.
Eagle Rock was my favorite of the day.
I was so pleased because so many people, I'll get into a little bit about the beers and the hops, but so many of the breweries chose IPAs, which I guess makes sense, but they did a hoppy brown ale.
Yes.
And a brown ale, anyway, is fairly rare to see at something like a beer fest, and I thought it was very well done.
Yep.
But it was also nice to see something unique.
It was it's the only beer I went back for, and I went back three times for that hoppy brown ale.
Lou.
And it was what was it called?
Lou.
Jennifer. Lou.
And it was fantastic. And they're mild. They have their regular
Solidarity.
Just a fantastic beer.
That and Bitter American, my two favorite, hands down.
All right.
Across America. But Eagle Rock is one of my favorite California breweries, so I'm glad to see that the beer was well received.
Yeah, it was good. Who else was there of notability? Russian River was there.
River was there. They had three beers. Well, they brought four. They brought a supplication.
Oh.
But they had three tapped. Drake's, a lot of the standard Bay Area breweries. So 21st Amendment. Sierra Nevada was there.
Stone was there.
Stone, yeah.
Saw those guys.
Lucky 13 had, it was like a indoors. What was that? It was just like a...
The beer truck are you talking
about? Kind of thing, yeah.
Like so Lucky 13 is what, a bar in Alameda?
It's a bar in Alameda that has craft beer, and it's actually a really cool place. They allow people to bring their dogs. They, you can get food and bring it in, some good taps. They have plenty there. Often they tap Pliny the Younger often during beer week.
Okay.
SF beer week.
Yeah, they brought like a box truck with, I don't know, six taps on it or something.
Yeah,
they just parked it in the warehouse.
There's a little bit of a backstory. That's a part of Off the Grid. They take that to like community events and they serve beer there. They're actually using the Faction warehouse to store that, so that they're sort of like hooked up with that place.
I see.
So it made total sense they were there.
Yeah. That's where they store their truck.
Monkey Paw is a brewery. Is that what it's called? Monkey Paw?
Monkey Paw, yeah.
A brewery out of San Diego, and they were pouring off of that truck, too.
They
I got to try
really
their
unique
beer.
Beers.
Yeah, they're unique people. I don't know them. I think I shook one of them's hand, or the guy just poured me a beer or something, and he was a unique individual. But they're making good beers. I think they won some GABF awards this year or last. So that was cool. Yeah. And the whole thing was obviously a fundraiser for ALS.
For ALS, correct, yeah. So a little bit of backstory for those that might not be too familiar with ALS is it is also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. It is a neurodegenerative disease, and it leads to paralysis. There is no known cure, and the average patient, once diagnosed, lives 2 to 5 years. So it's very devastating for those affected by it. And this particular event, Ales for ALS, was created by Hop Union as well as Loftus Ranches, and it's to benefit ALS research.
Okay. I a great event and a great reason to do it. And there was a lot of people out to support it.
And it was packed.
It was packed. Even among kind of hearing mumbles about sort of a lack of promotion, like not really getting the word out. Faction obviously is a extremely busy startup company right now, and I can sympathize that it's sort of hard to plan a big event like that at the same time. So I was kind of hearing that around town, but then got there, and there were just a great turnout of people supporting the cause. So I thought it was cool.
And she said she had 1,800 glasses, and they're all gone.
I bet. I believe it. I think there was a lot more than 1,800 people there.
Yeah.
And it kind of made me think that Faction should do an event every month out there. The spot is
the
awesome.
The space is amazing. You can't beat that space.
It's so private out there.
Yeah. And just the open space. You get left alone.
Yeah.
And,
the view of San Francisco cityscape in the background.
Yeah. And
impressive.
The ghetto in the foreground. Yeah, it's very it's nice.
You get to realize your place in the social
well, we're driving,
ladder when you go through there.
We're driving through, and it's popular. People live there. And Kate's like, what's all these abandoned houses?
Abandoned.
And I'm like, no, that's not an abandoned house. There are people live in these houses. And
which is kind of funny because you're basically cornering yourself in that. So if shit ever went down, and the
riot.
Residents are finally like, you know what? Forget all these people coming in and drinking beer. You have nowhere to go.
Cut them off.
Yeah, except into the bay and swim across the.
It is an island.
Channel there. Right.
Well, MythBusters is filmed right there, right? So
yeah.
I mean, they're in good company. If the MythBuster, I couldn't imagine people living where.
It's gonna be fine.
No.
Yeah, I think they're out there somewhere, but right in front of the brewery, you can't do anything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There will be things done.
Anyway, a ton of people there. It was like two parties. It was an outside party and an inside party.
Yes.
And each of them were like full of people. It was pretty cool.
It was a good
time.
You
could join each one or go to the other one, whatever you want to do.
Are there pictures from the event available on any of our stuff?
There are. So on Facebook, there are some. I also have more. But I posted 4 on the Instagram for Brewing Network that day, as well as there is a mini album of 6 photos on our Facebook page.
Okay. Great. Well, thanks for going to it for us and bringing back the report, Kim.
Hell yeah.
I appreciate it. Any other events on our radar? Is there more stuff happening around the Bay? Shouldn't there be an event like every weekend right now?
There's a lot of stuff going on. I know the big one that we're not a part of, but it's the Bluesapalooza at Mammoth.
Oh.
This coming weekend.
Oh, I wish I could go to that. We're doing our own event, I guess. I could leave.
You could go for Saturday.
You could go up Saturday.
Get your ass back up here for Sunday.
Neither of us will be there.
I've been wanting to go to that for years. That's the regular Mammoth Brews Fest,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's the one you're thinking of.
Bluesapalooza. Yeah.
Supposed to be great.
That one sounds fun.
Next year.
Next year. This year, come here to our Sunday.
Yeah, night. We're having Hop Grenada Palooza.
There you go. That's right.
Just add Palooza at the end of anything and people will want to be involved.
It's a good time, right?
It always works.
That'll bring them in.
Works every time.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Kim Shimke. You can follow Kim Shimke on Instagram as well. She is Kim's Bay Brews.
Kim's Bay Brews.
There you go. And on Facebook. But you're just Instagram.
I'm sort of on Facebook.
And Twitter?
Twitter, yes.
Also Kim's Bay Brews?
That is correct.
All right. You can get all that info over there. Okay. We're going to do feedback at the end, Jip.
Fine. Do whatever you want, dude. I don't care.
You do that just to mess with me, don't you?
Yeah. Every other day, week that you're not here, we do it at the beginning.
Yeah, I know. So, and then when I get here late, it's like, oh, we just did that.
Yeah. Well, we got to get moving with Mead Monday. So we'll take a quick break. When we come back, Kurt Stock will be on the air with us. Tell us all about what mead is and how to make it and give us some good tips on how to do it at home. Hang in there. It's The Session live from the Hop Grenade. We'll be right back.
listening to The Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. MoreBeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. MoreBeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to MoreBeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to morebeer.com today and take advantage of The Buzz, the forum, the Learning Center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
This is a public service announcement.
Hey, dude, I think there's...
What's wrong? You don't look so good.
There's something wrong with your beer. It's making everyone sick.
Don't let your beer make your loved ones ill. Proper cleaning and sanitation is the key to avoiding puke on your shoes.
But I used an all-in-one.
Cleaning and sanitizing cannot be done in a one-step process. No cleaner can sanitize, and no sanitizer can clean. The amazing chemists at Five Star Chemicals have your solution. Clean with BBW and sanitize with Star San.
Fantastic!
Your friends and loved ones will thank you. Five-star products are available at fine homebrew shops near you and online. Put your best beer forward with Five-Star Chemicals, your one stop for the cleanest two-step solution.
As a brewer, you already don't settle for second best. You want great tasting beer and you want great equipment to make it with. So don't settle for the second best grain mill. You want a Monster Mill from Monster Brewing Hardware. Monster Mills are tough, come in 2 and 3 roller designs, and are made right here in the USA from superior materials for longer lasting performance. Pick the mill that's right for you at MonsterBrewingHardware.com and take Bevo's advice.
Trust me, it's always better to have a bigger tool than you think you need.
Monster Mills have the best warranty in the business. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Visit MonsterBrewingHardware.com now and check out all the mills and mill accessories. Don't settle for second best. Get a Monster Mill from Monster Brewing Hardware.
Have you ever dreamed of attending the World Brewing Academy? This year, thanks to Lalamond and Anstar, one lucky brewer will make that dream a reality for free. Lalamond and Danstar invite you to enter the Beer School 2015 contest. One lucky grand prize winner will receive fully paid tuition to the 2015 World Brewing Academy web-based concise course in brewing technology worth almost $4,000. From now until December 13, 2014, every Danstar yeast packet you use is your ticket to enter. Visit DanstarYeast.com for the details and to print your official entry form. There's no limit on the number of times you can enter, so get brewing with Danstar and get your entries in to the Danstar 2015 Beer School Contest. Whether you want to build your home brewing skills or build a career as a professional brewer, this course will change the way you think of beer and brewing. Enter at DanstarYeast.com and get the dry yeast advantage with Danstar and Lalamond Premium Brewing Yeast, and enter to win.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and the freshest ingredients, backed by the best customer service in the business. New items include the Big Oxygen Kit for economical wort aeration using common welding oxygen tanks, and the Unistat line of external thermostats for easy control of both electric heaters and refrigerators. In addition, they've just mashed their new oatmeal stout malt extract, so you can make those tasty winter oatmeal stouts and porters without mashing. Go to WilliamsBrewing.com today and browse their vast selection. That's WilliamsBrewing.com. Orders placed by 4 p.m. Pacific Time weekdays ship the same day. It's easy. The Williams way.
Welcome back to the program. Thanks for sticking with us. Got a lot to do on Mead Monday. Mead and Metal Monday. I got a new metal song to play that was submitted by a listener this week.
Those are always good.
Yeah. It's about you, JP.
And those are always better.
I think it's one of the best. It's definitely the best hardcore song I've ever heard.
I would pay money to hear a Sugar Valley Brewer song made into a metal song. Except that one song.
Brandon Zetties, get on it, please. Bevo would like to hear a collaboration, something written by Sugar Valley, but produced and performed by you,
Do you have hair down there?
Yeah. Not that song.
All right, Kurt Stock is on the line with us to talk Mead. Hey, Kurt, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. Yourself?
We're doing great. Thanks for being on the show with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, my honor.
So, as you know, we're talking Mead tonight. And when we were planning the show, you know, you're one of the first names that came to my mind because I know how long you've been making it as a home brewer. And not just that, of course, you've been even Mead Maker of the Year in the past. So you're kind of a badass.
Yeah, I've had a lot of good tutelage along the way.
Okay, so. Excellent. When did you start making mead?
I started making mead in 2003, which was right after, it was actually right after my first AHA conference and when Ken Schramm's book first came out.
Okay. Got it. And had you been a mead fan before that? Had you, you know, bought commercial mead or from other homebrewers?
Actually, my first mead experience got me off of even thinking about making mead because and it was probably in 99 or something like that. And somebody said, oh, this is mead. And it tasted like acetone. So,
yeah. You know, I got to admit, I had the same experience. And you know, I had my first home brews in 2004 or 2005. And, yeah, somebody gave me mead, and my experience was the same. I just thought instantly, well, I won't be home brewing that beverage.
Yeah, that's very hot and unwelcoming.
Yeah.
Was there any commercial mead to at least say, well, there's this thing can be good, but home brewers suck at making it? Like what commercial mead was around?
I don't know. Kurt, was there something that early?
Chaucer's.
That early, I'm not exactly sure when Redstone had to be starting at least at that point, if not already around.
Yeah.
And there, you know, that's a good meadery.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you were looking at English, you know, examples that you could find in the liquor store in that corner that nobody ever went into.
I remember that corner. Yeah. Okay.
Well, Chaucer's has been around a while, but it's a your standard straight mead.
Okay. Not much to it.
No, not much. Not a lot of creativeness to it.
Yeah. Okay. You won Mead Maker of the Year then shortly after you made your first mead, Kurt.
Yeah, I did in 2005. Actually, I think the first mead I ever made was some raspberry thing, and I ended up taking a medal at Drunk Monk, I think, with that.
Okay.
And it was a lot of fun in the beginning.
Yeah. Sounds
there
like
there were a lot, not a lot of people making mead, so you know, the barrel was pretty shallow at that point.
I see.
Maybe that's why you were able to get a medal, because there were four other entries and they all tasted like fingernail polish remover.
Right.
That's probably a big reason, yes.
All right, Kurt, do me this favor for people that don't know what mead is. Can you describe the beverage for me?
Mead is mostly honey and any other imagination that you have to add with it.
Okay. So basically, as opposed to using grapes to ferment for fermentable sugars as you would with wine, or barley and malt as you would with beer, you're using honey for the fermentable sugar.
Correct.
And then it's my understanding, I guess, that what really makes mead, one mead different from the next, is actually your choice of the different kinds of honey available.
Yeah, yeah. Honey variety or honey type is a really big component of it.
Okay. And has that changed over the years in terms of the quality that's available? You know, did it used to be that you could just, you know, you went to the shop and you got one kind of honey and that's that? And now, just like malt, there's just so many more varieties?
Yeah, it's a supply-demand kind of thing, and people find what they like, and once it becomes popular, Tupelo is a pretty good example of that. It's a great honey to eat, but it's even better to make meat out of.
So. Okay. So the same characters that you would find if you were tasting the honey raw, do those transfer over into the fermented beverage?
Not always.
Okay.
You can have a honey that tastes really good on toast, but... as soon as you ferment it, it can turn into something that you really wouldn't care for.
Okay. And what about on the yeast side? Is it a special kind of yeast used just for mead?
Mostly wine yeasts are used, but you can use any yeast you wanted to.
So even brewer's yeast? Because it's high gravity, right?
It doesn't always have to be.
Okay. So if I did a lower gravity, I could use something like a regular brewer's yeast.
Right, right. I think the important thing with yeast that I've gathered over the years is I like to use the same yeast all the time because I know what it's going to do.
Okay, got it. Has anybody in the studio here, besides Kurt, brewed mead before? JP, have you done
it? I have, yeah. I've done it a couple times.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How did yours come out?
Honestly, a little watery. Like a little thin-bodied. I didn't do any acid adjustments, or I didn't kind of manipulate the final product. I just bottled it. We've had it here on the show a couple times.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Did we like it?
We thought it was a little thin.
Okay.
It was obviously memorable.
It was a bit unremarkable.
Felt like my wiener.
Very remarkable.
Very remarkable.
So, Kurt, what is... sorry, Scott, did you have...
Well, just to go back to the variety of honeys available, a producer on another talk show I love to listen to is he's a huge honey guy, like you guys out there are homebrewers. He's a honey guy, like fanatical. And I think there's a whole movement around sort of craft honey and all these different varieties and flavors and producers.
Really?
Yeah.
What does he do with it other than make mead, though? Like, what do you do with honey?
Well, as my understanding is, he doesn't even make mead. He just likes... You just go to honey tastings.
That's weird.
Well, but it's a thing, and I wonder if, Kurt, that translates into just tons of different varieties. I know you asked this question a minute ago, Jay, but,
are there a million varieties of honey, Kurt, available to us?
There's as many different honeys possible as there are types of blossoms.
Got it. Okay.
We actually have a local honey guy here who will... source a certain blossom at a certain time of the year, and he will extract that honey immediately instead of letting it get, you know, and so there's really obscure things. But he'll also sell a 4-ounce jar for $12, which you're not going to make a lot of mead that way.
Yeah, that's an expensive batch of mead.
Expensive mead.
Yeah.
It could still be crappy mead.
Right.
Yeah, how do you win a gold medal unless you go for the best ingredients, Kurt?
Well, that's exactly what people do.
They do. They sort of steal the show with those good ingredients.
So finding a good local honey is kind of the thing, right? Like that's where you get somewhat regional or even unique for that matter, instead of just buying the mass market honey.
Correct. Yeah, correct. And you're going to find even certain blossoms, like you could get basswood blossom honey here is going to taste different than it is in a different part of the continent. Mm-hmm. So
okay.
Is it getting more expensive in general, honey? Because I think we've all been reading national news about, you know, dwindling honeybee populations.
Yeah.
Is that translating to higher honey prices?
I wondered about that.
It kind of depends on the honey. It's that whole supply-demand thing again. I can still get a full pail of honey for around 100, which is 5 gallons, 60 pounds, for around $140 on the cheap end. You're probably looking at 2.25 on the expensive end.
And how many, 5-gallon batches of mead does a 5-gallon bucket of honey get you?
Depends on who's making mead.
I see. How about you, Kurt? Because you make good mead, the good stuff.
I could usually get
half.
I could stretch it into 15 gallons of finished mead, but usually a little less. I use, depending on what I'm making and how much fruit I'm adding, I'll use as much as 2 gallons of honey in a 5.5 gallon batch.
Wow.
Well, Kurt, you mentioned fruit. What else would you add besides water and honey to make meat? Do you ever add any simple sugar?
No.
Never?
No.
Okay.
Why is that?
Simple sugar, that's for Belgian beers.
Would it have an adverse effect, or are you just a purist?
Honey gives a nice, distinct character to a beverage, and sugar... it gets a little more cidery than anything else.
Yeah, gotcha. You're adding white to white.
Okay. Is that a cocaine joke?
How much more white can it get?
Yeah, right.
Now, I haven't made one of those. That would be interesting.
Ooh.
That's a different
thing. Would that be a methaglen, maybe?
Maybe so.
That'd be a methaglen.
Yeah. So, but adding fruit is adding a fermentable, right?
It is.
Okay.
But most typically what I base it on is any fruit I'm adding and any of the juice that comes from it, it will be about a 10-50 gravity.
Okay.
Cider, any kind of fruit juice has about 50 points of sugar in it. But, that's not a hard, fast rule, but it's just what I use.
Got it. Of the meads that I've had... with few exceptions, I think I prefer the mead made with fruit, which has a name, that type of mead, right?
Yeah, Melomel, yeah.
A Melomel. I think a lot of the ones from Moonlight that I've had that are Melomels are, I think, it just adds another dimension to it, and it makes it closer to some of the beers I like sour beers and things like that. So,
you ever tried to use a fruit that did not work in a mead?
I did a watermelon mead one time.
Yeah.
I juiced enough watermelon to get 3 gallons of juice, and I put in, 18 pounds of honey. Thing fermented out in about 3 days.
Oh.
And it was rocket fuel.
Oh, really? So
I have tasted good watermelon mead since then, but I don't know what exactly happened with that, but I'm never doing it again.
Wait, and that turned out no good because it fermented too quickly?
Yeah.
It was high in alcohol.
I'm not sure why it turned out horrible, but I did. I'm not going to explore that any further.
that
sorry,
was enough.
I apologize.
The Kurt JP is made
currants, cherries, all sorts of things that taste a heck of a lot better than watermelon.
Everything's better than that, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
JP has made me, but I haven't, and I imagine a lot of our listeners haven't either. What's the basic process?
There's a number of ways to do it. Find a source of really good quality honey. Whatever you're going to add to it, whether it's spices or fruit, just make sure your ingredients are the best quality they can be. Basically, you dilute your honey with water, throw your fruit in, some nutrient, and your yeast choice, and get it all going.
Now, are we boiling this solution first, like I do beer?
You can. I wouldn't, but you can.
So you don't need to, sanitize it, basically.
You just, like anything else, honey itself is pretty, not, it's not susceptible to any contamination or growing molds or bacteria or anything, and until you dilute it. So once you get to that point, you want to make sure all your equipment's sanitized.
Okay. And the water that goes into it.
That should also, so I could boil the water first.
There's such very low amounts of water in the honey as it is.
Yeah,
it won't grow things.
Okay,
but as you said, once you dilute it,
yeah,
it's sugar water.
And then I guess, of course, the other purpose of boiling wort is to boil the hops and to get the bitterness out. But I guess we're not doing anything like that in a meat. There are no hops in meat, right?
Right. Well, there can be.
It can.
Well, then it would be something different.
Oh,
what is that called?
It'd be a braggot. Braggot can have hops in it.
Braggot would be, it would have part of its fermentables come from malt. Is that right?
It's a beer and mead mix.
Mixed together.
Ish.
Okay. That's a whole other one.
Yeah.
We've talked about braggots on the show in the past, too, when we had, what was that meadery that's like local to?
Yeah, Rabbit's Foot.
Thank you. Rabbit's Foot. We've talked about it. We did a live show from there years ago.
No, I was just saying, have you seen my Rabbit's Foot?
No.
Haven't. What are you guys talking about?
Never mind.
We did one of our rare remotes.
Sorry, Kurt?
Braggots are a short story.
They are.
In my book, they are.
Okay. All right.
Kind of like his watermelon mead.
Yeah, that was that. Do you make mead regularly still?
I don't put anything in a still, but yes, I make plenty of batches almost all the time.
It sounds so far, anyway, and we haven't talked about controlling the fermentation or additives like JP mentioned.
Yeah, acid, you can adjust kind of stuff like that, I think.
Which I'd like to talk about, but so far, it sounds faster and easier than making beer. Is that right?
Yeah, you can mix things up in a matter of, you know, 30 minutes.
Okay. And then, so essentially if I mix I add water to dilute the honey. And then if I'm going to add fruit, I mix all this stuff together so that it's now a liquid solution. And I put it into a fermenter and add my yeast. That's it?
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Hmm.
I like to do a staggered nutrient additions, which anybody could Google that or whatever and get the information on that. There's a lot of publications out there with it now.
Which is what, basically to just add the nutrients throughout fermentation rather than just all at once?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It does a couple of things. It gives the nutrients, you know, liberates the nutrients when they need it instead of laying on the bottom of the fermenter where the yeast does have a hard time getting to them. And plus it drives off all of the CO2 during fermentation, which, you know, in a beer isn't a big issue because you're starting at, you know, about 1050 in a mead. You know, some of the ones I make, the bigger ones I make, are starting at, you know, closer to 1155.
Wow. Okay.
So that CO2 becomes toxic to the yeast and it doesn't work very well. So
by adding the nutrients, you're allowing that to escape more readily out of solution?
Yeah, you're actually mixing them in and stirring it in and getting a little bit more oxygen into it the first few days of fermentation, which is good for the yeast too. The yeast health is probably the most important aspect, second to ingredients, I would say, that are going to make your mead better than somebody else's.
Okay. And is the fermentation temperature and a consistent temperature just as crucial to mead as it is beer?
Yeah, you want to make sure it doesn't get too warm. That mainly so you're not killing yeast. If you're using a lot of fruit, like winemakers, they punch the cap, you know, the fruit cap or the grapes down, you know,
yeah,
every day or multiple times a day. And you just don't want that heat building up underneath the layer of fruit or...
I see.
Yeah.
So what would be an example of too warm?
It's best to keep it in the mid to upper 60s, but, I mean, I've had things ferment in the mid to upper 70s with little or no ill effect. So once you get over 80, you're probably looking at a little bit of trouble.
Okay.
And are you trying to, if you're trying to go for a dry, like the Moonlight meads that I like the most are the driest ones.
Yeah.
Is that an attenuation thing, just like with beer? The better attenuation, the drier it is?
That's more going to depend on how much honey or fruit you, or I'm sorry, gravity you start with.
Okay.
So you just use less sugar. It'll for sure dry out.
Got it. What is there an average ABV of a mead? I mean, are they 12? Are they 14? I mean, I remember having some of these Moonlight meads, JP, at like 18 and 19% or something.
I think that was like one. Usually they're about 14, just wine strength.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a such thing as a session mead? Like, what if you wanted
tasty? You must know about this.
A lower alcohol.
Is that water?
Is there, Kurt?
Actually, I've got a couple going right across the room from me right now.
Session? Are they hoppy session meads?
not exactly. There's a black. I got a black currant and a cherry one, but I just started with a gravity of 1040, and you know, a few pounds of fruit. Let it dry out. You know, back sweeten a little bit to get the fruit character right.
Okay.
Throw it in a keg, throw it in the fridge, and now I got a nice 4% mead that I can have a whole pint of instead of, you know, 3 ounces.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Now, you say back sweeten, and JP, I believe we talked about this on the cider show.
That's correct.
Is that essentially just adding some juice or something back?
I just add honey back.
You actually add honey back. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Back meaning where in the process?
after fermentation, add honey back into the solution. Which to me sounds odd, because why wouldn't you just start with it? Like in a beer, you start with the gravity. You calculate this all out, right? Mm-hmm. So that it ferments out and lands at the gravity that you want. Why is it different with something like mead?
Or even ciders.
And ciders, too. It's different with that, yeah. So...
Because all the sugar sources in both ciders and meads are pretty much all fermentable.
Ah, okay.
To where you can add a lot of different unfermentable, grains to a wort.
That makes sense.
And ferment out.
So those longer chain sugars that stick around in a beer, that makes sense now. And that, I guess that also makes sense of why you can end up with some hot alcohols and things like that in mead too, right?
You can if your fermentation, if you don't watch that and you have some sluggish or bad fermentation, that's where your off flavors and your bad compounds come from. Yeah,
got it.
So when you're talking about back sweeten, what are you back sweeten with? And do you add things like sorbate or something to inhibit any more fermentation?
Just a positive attitude.
Yeah,
yeah.
I just think
love. You just put love in.
No, just a little, yeah.
And
some hope.
Right, a little hope.
Hope's a big thing.
Actually, anything that's low gravity that I end up back sweetening, I would personally never put that in a bottle.
Hmm. Oh.
It's pretty much going to blow up, even if you do sorbate it,
Okay. Sorbate.
That makes sense.
Will inhibit any more yeast fermentation?
It might.
It's supposed to.
Exactly.
It inhibits the yeast from replicating enough to re-ferment.
I see.
So it doesn't really stop fermentation. And what he's talking about, too, is, you're still going to get bottle bombs.
It's okay.
Supposed to.
This is probably a dumb question, but do you ever carbonate mead?
What an idiot!
Dude, you think it? It's your first show?
Don't even answer
that. Is
that
the
Kurt.
First question that wasn't? No.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
You can? Yeah. You do?
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's not a dumb question.
Oh, yeah. It's not a dumb question. We just like dicking with you. Like,
but a straight mead, like a normal mead,
still mead.
You would carbonate? You could carbonate?
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
You can do what you want.
It's called sparkling mead.
Oh,
the
I see.
Beauty about mead, there's no handcuffs in mead.
There's not a bunch of like mead snobs like there are beer snobs saying, well, you did it wrong. You're not supposed to add carbonation.
Well, they say, well, I don't prefer mine with carbonation. That's what I've heard.
I see.
Or what level?
I don't prefer your opinion.
I do.
Exactly. Everybody's wrong but me.
That's right. Kurt, you've met me before.
I have the same attitude.
Yeah. But yeah, you can have sparkling mead.
I like the sound of it. I think it's like the
champagne of
the
trailer park. Sparkling rhubarb.
It's like it's the champagne of the trailer park.
I see.
I think Justin would
East Side Trailer Park.
The High Desert Trailer Park.
Oh, I've been there.
Justin would prefer a low alcohol carbonated. Just get a beer, actually.
Right. Well, frankly, I actually prefer the higher alcohol. Tasty's the session fan. I like my beverages higher in alcohol.
Yeah.
Well, a low alcohol mead's like 8.5%.
Oh, well, then yes.
I know Kurt said he's making a 4%er, but...
Right. That's really exceptional.
Yeah.
At least in
my
experience.
Because I'm serving it to people I don't know, and I didn't want to waste all the money.
Right. Yeah. Or people that you've seen drunk and you didn't like. So here, have this one instead.
I think he doesn't like him in the first place.
You'll have some backup bottles of some strong shit, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few.
Yeah, don't travel light.
Well, I guess, if you made a 4%er, what's the highest ABV you've ever made?
I use the Narbonne yeast in pretty much every mead I make, and my goal is to start with a gravity that I know where it's going to finish, which is that's why your yeast choice is important, and it's important you know how it's going to react. So I always start with a gravity that's going to leave me, based on the fruit I add, at the gravity I want.
Okay.
So most of my meads are in that 15, 16, 17% area of my big meads,
Okay. Now, I had some folks at the bar the other day here. We were talking about this mead show. And their reaction was, mead. I've never had a mead that I like. And I think it's similar to yours and mine, Kurt, when we had our first one. I don't think these folks had had an extensive mead experience. I think they were given some bad mead.
Yeah, right? Not many people have.
So what do I say to that? I mean, what I said, Kurt, just so you know, is, well, we you should try the brand that we have here, because I've had nothing but good experience with it. But is there something else we could say to mead people who think they don't like it? Because I feel like they just haven't had the right one yet.
Are they brewers at all?
I don't think they were brewers. They were definitely craft beer fans. You know, they were beer geeks like us. But I don't know if they were brewers.
I would just point them to the brands that you know are a good experience. And if they still don't like it, then they won't like it.
Which is certainly possible.
Yeah.
They did bring up another beverage. I couldn't remember the name of it. There's another beverage made with honey. I think it hails from Africa, actually.
Tej?
Tej, that's it. Yeah. Thank you. Do you know anything about Tej?
Yeah, enough.
Way enough.
Well, I just want to know, what's the difference between Tej and mead?
I've only had it at the Mead Festival before, and I don't know enough about it to sing praises or dog on it. So.
Okay, yeah.
But leave that to Susan. I'm sure she knows.
I could ask her. I guess I'm just curious if it has another ingredient other than just honey.
Ebola.
Yeah, which is never good.
It's too soon.
You know. All right, we'll ask Susan, too, see what she knows about it.
When is it going to be not too soon for Ebola?
Oh, here we go. It's actually made, according to Wiki, with it's flavored with the powdered leaves and twigs of gesso, which is a hops-like bittering agent.
Oh, that's right. I remember now.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is.
Yummy.
Sounds great.
Well, I mean, why?
Did it sound any different?
We put in, like, weird stuff in our beer, too, you know?
Yeah, like sheep dung.
Don't judge a book by its cover, you know?
How many peanut butter porters have you had?
Good call.
One too many.
Yeah, just one too many. All right, Kurt, do you... I probably should have prepped you for this beforehand.
Yeah.
But I sure would like a recipe if you had one handy.
I gave it to you. Water... and honey. Can I go now?
Weren't you listening?
I got the live feeds to watch.
I also want to know, you keep saying picking the right yeast and that you tend to have a go-to. What, can we know what yeast that is?
Yeah, I use it's a Narbonne yeast. Can I say a trade name?
Yeah, it's fine.
Lelvin 71B.
Oh, but not that one.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Way to go, Kurt.
Then the complete...
Cut that up.
Same thing from a different vendor.
God damn it, Kurt. Now I have to erase your whole interview.
Shit. Let's start over.
That's fine.
Yeah.
You probably were going to anyway.
Welcome to the show, Kurt Stock, ladies.
Hey, Kurt, what's up, dude?
Yeah. Kurt, what is mead?
He's going to redo it.
It's been hella days.
Could you give us a recipe?
Would you happen to have one of your award-winning recipes handy?
Oh, sure.
Let's do that, because I know our listeners would like to try it.
Throw it at us.
And while you're getting that ready, I should mention, I believe Saturday is like National Mead Day.
Indeed.
Where you're supposed to make mead.
Drink mead?
Isn't today Mead Monday?
Celebrate mead.
Mead Monday.
I threatened to make a mead on Mead Day.
You did. No, you didn't threaten. You promised.
I don't know if I promised.
You promised.
I have 60 pounds of honey just waiting for you.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Do you want to make mead with me on Saturday?
With you?
What about me and Kim? Kim, do you want to make mead too?
I want to make mead, yes.
See, now there's somebody who's fun and involved.
And that bitter.
Is it still with you?
Oh, no. Great. All right, would you like to go to Doc's house and make mead?
For me.
Yay.
That's what it is.
Bevo, would you like to make mead?
When?
Saturday, on Mead Day.
I'll be at Brad Paisley's concert.
Oh, you're serious?
Are you going to be backstage in Brad Paisley's room?
I wish.
Is that the State Fair?
Is that at Mountain Winery?
Yeah.
He's on the winery.
Don't be rude.
Now.
I love him.
I know you do.
Well, yeah.
At least somebody still
does.
Something
for everybody.
All right, Kurt, what have you got for a recipe?
Okay. Let me see. I can... Well, if you want to go to the BJCP website, they got a copy of my magazine article I did.
Okay.
Which has a bunch of recipes in it.
What's going on with that?
Yeah, that's good enough. Tell us about that.
I had a long time ago, that guy at Brew Your Own. We all know him.
Yeah.
Asked me to write an article, so Chris. I just did one. And it's got a strawberry banana recipe in it, a triple berry recipe, and probably it's some other recipe in it.
Strawberry banana.
Ooh. Ooh. Strawberry banana was probably my first success. That's the one that first got, that one got spiked off of the Mead Maker of the Year table at the 2004 conference.
Hmm. What does that
by
mean?
By Joe Formanek, so it wasn't that bad of a deal.
Okay.
I don't know what spiked off.
It's breakfast meat.
Some sort of judging lingo. I don't know what it means.
Yeah.
What does spiked off mean?
Spiked, yeah. Well, yeah. It was in the top three, so yeah, we were good.
Okay.
But it lost it to a macadamia nut. Mead, so you
like
know,
I can,
yeah,
right.
It doesn't
travel. It sounds bad about it at all. It's only been 10 years, so
it was banana and what?
Strawberry.
And strawberry. Banana. It sounds difficult to not make it too fruity. You know,
oh.
Well, kind of the point
is to make it too fruity.
Well, let's go with a triple berry one then. Same thing.
Okay.
It's like Four Loko. You want. Really good flavor, high alcohol.
It is.
You get it, don't you?
It's the Four Loco of the Nordics, is what you're saying.
This isn't a tribute to bees. This is a tribute to getting high.
I would love to hear a Nordic song, like the Four Loco rap song, if there was a Nordic mead song.
As long as we can make it like that cool blue.
Yeah.
If it has like neon blue.
Well, you just make a blueberry one. I'm sure that's what they put in Four Loco.
Bubblegum.
All natural organic blueberries.
I'm loco for Mead Loco.
Yeah.
Mead Loco? That's,
yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. You can have that, Kurt, for your next recipe name.
I will. I'm on.
All right. So we can go to bjcp.org, and you can find an article there by Kurt Stock, which I guess has several recipes if you want to give it a shot, for Mead Day coming up this Saturday. And you can make – it's not called brewing. You just make mead. I guess you don't brew mead.
Yeah, it's mead making.
Mead making. That's not as sexy as mead brewing.
We should do a demo at the that new bar, the Hop Grenade. That's allowed, right? On the patio, maybe.
I was just thinking about that, Tasty, when I thought about making it, because I probably got to be here anyway.
Yeah.
But do we really want the demonstration to be me doing mead for the first
people
time?
People won't know that you're fucking it up. They won't even.
That's
we'll
true.
Know.
Plus, I could just blame it on Kim if she wants to come.
Yeah, she could be there.
How about you get the whole crew there and we just make a DVD out of it?
I don't know. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. You take water, warm water.
Yeah, but how much?
Well,
how much do you want to make?
Well, it depends on what you want to make.
5 gallons? Take 5 gallons of water.
Put it all in beer smith.
12 pounds of honey. You pour the honey in, you stir it up.
That sounds low gravity.
Then you cool it down.
Sounds like the dry mead guy's making that recipe.
Yeah, see, there you go. Yeah, I don't like a sweet sugar bum.
Yeah, me neither.
Or you can do 14, whatever, right. But that's the point. It'll take 20 minutes, dude.
And then what? Then I put it in a fermenter, and I do have to do a yeast starter?
Sure.
No.
Kurt says no.
Well, Kurt sucks. What does he know?
Well, okay. Tell Justin how long he should... Think about the fermentation until he be drinking the finished product.
Until he be drinking the finished product?
He can be drinking.
He was listening to that Four Loko.
Yeah.
If he does it properly, he could be drinking that within 4 weeks if he wanted to.
Oh.
Well, let's talk about...
Well, knowing him, he will be.
Let's talk about the starter. I mean, that's a good point. I would assume that you should make a starter. Why wouldn't you make a starter?
You don't really need to. If you buy two packets, 10 grams of... any wine yeast, rehydrate it, you know, following the instructions on the back of the package, and just put it in.
Okay. I like Kurt's method.
The stag so nutrient addition part, which is also in that article, and which I stole from many other people, so don't credit me with any of it.
All right. But that's just...
You follow that, your fermentation should be done in about 2.5 or 3 weeks.
Okay, and these are just your standard nutrients I can get at my local homebrew shop, which happens to be More Beer.
Oh, yeah, I love More Beer.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe we're making mead Saturday, Kim. It sounds like it's going to take 10 minutes. So
we just established it was still with you, so then I'm opting out.
Now you're back out again?
Sorry.
Great.
Hey, you're alone.
We're all
this
honest
one.
Here.
Well, and Bevo chose Brad Paisley over me. And Doc is just being a dick.
This is a solo endeavor.
I didn't say you couldn't do it with me. I just couldn't be a dick
about
it. You
said you didn't want to.
No, I didn't say that.
Okay. Well, if you want to FaceTime me on Saturday, I'll help. I'll talk you through it.
Oh, there we go. We can have Kurt just right there on the...
Is that an Adam and Eve category?
On the screen,
He'll be at the Paisley concert also, but he will FaceTime me.
Yeah.
Because I won't be watching it.
That's how I'm brewing a flat tail on Wednesday.
You are?
Yeah, we're just going to Skype it because I can't make it up there.
Why not?
Oh, it's me killer stuff.
Dude, it's...
That's your collab... You are such a douchebag. They invite you to collab brew and you're going to go... And you Skype
it
in?
No, it's for the pro-am. I couldn't make
it. It's for the pro-am! Yeah,
I couldn't make it.
why not move the date? Because it has to be made in time for JBM.
Yeah, he
could.
Yeah, he couldn't.
Well, that kind of sucks.
You can't make it because you're going to Disneyland.
Not at all. No. Just it was costing like $500 for plane tickets and all that kind of shit. And
I see.
We got a bunch of small business taxes to pay. And
they can't. The flat tail guys can't pay your way.
No, well, they're paying my way out to GABF this year.
I see.
And so I'd much rather it was one or the other.
Yeah.
So I'd much rather go to GABF. And not have to do anything.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that was my...
Seems like they've kind of cheaped out on it, if you ask me. I mean, all the free promotion that they've gotten out of the BN, and they can't...
Totally agree.
They can't even...
No.
Hey, Flat Tail guys, hanging out in the brewery right now. You can't fly JP... You can't be there to make the Pro-Am beer?
Really? You dicks?
I mean, that sounds a little...
Dave, do not clarify this, okay? It's between you and I.
It sounds a little cheap.
Anyway, but that was my big joke.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for ruining it.
All right, Kurt. Well, thanks for being on the program and talking mead with us. I appreciate it.
Meadly.
No problem.
I hope we see you.
The invitation.
Absolutely. I hope to see you soon. And cheers, brother.
Cheers.
There you go. The great Kurt Stock and a fine mead maker. I've never had a bad mead from Kurt. And you go to the National Homebrewers Conference, and you're almost guaranteed to get to try some mead from Kurt. So if you've never been to an NHC, it's going to be in San Diego this year, the National Homebrewers Conference.
San Diego.
Yes. And I'm not sure Kurt's going, but he certainly usually does. So try his mead if you ever get the chance. It's good stuff. All right. We're going to take a quick break. I think we should try some mead in the next segment.
I agree with this statement.
And, do we have mead?
We have mead. We have some Moonlight Mead right here in the fridge, available for purchase. We still got some show left, so if you want to come down to the Hop Grenade, you can try some mead. We're going to grab some right now. When we come back, we're going to talk to Susan Root. Hang in there. It's the session.
Listening to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
What'd you get?
More brewing ingredients?
Yep.
You know what I love about Brewmaster's Warehouse? The $6.99 shipping.
Well, yeah, but...
Oh, the in-store classes for beginning brewers.
Yeah, that's cool, but...
Oh, the Brew Builder. Creating and saving your recipes online is awesome!
No, I'm... Yes, but...
The cheese-making supplies.
No.
Oh, the wine-making supplies. Oh, the distilling equipment and liquor flavorings.
All that stuff is awesome, yes, but what I really love is that the guy who runs it is totally hot. And that Brew Builder software is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Brewmaster's Warehouse brings you flat rate shipping on great equipment and ingredients to make beer, wine, cheese, and spirits at brewmasterswarehouse.com. And if you're in Georgia, stop by Brewmaster's Warehouse Monday through Saturday from 10 to 6. Visit brewmasterswarehouse.com today because it's totally hot.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, I'm Jamel Zanishev, and in addition to my work on the Brewing Network, I write the style profile column in every issue of Brew Your Own magazine.
Hi, I'm Sean Paxton, and when I'm not prepping for the Home Brewed Chef on the Brewing Network, you can find me writing articles on how to cook with your home brew for Brew Your Own magazine.
Greetings, Cretans. This is John Palmer, and when I'm not writing for Brew Your Own, I'm reading it.
John Palmer, Sean Paxton, Jamil Zainashev. If you love listening to them on the Brewing Network, you'll love reading their articles, tips, and recipes in the pages of Brew Your Own magazine. Join Jamil, John, and Sean 8 times a year in Brew Your Own. And when you subscribe to BYO on the Brewing Network website, half of your subscription price goes right back to the BN to support great beer and food programming. So sign up for Brew Your Own magazine through the BN website today so you can listen and read your way to better homebrew.
Tonight is the night.
We bring the creature to life, Dr. Blitzenstein?
Yes, J.P. Lore. Everything is perfect for my next fermented creation.
My daughter, the storm is too far away. We'll never have enough power to isomerize the creature's alpha acids.
Yes, J.P. Lore, we will. For I have in my possession the Tower of Power!
Glickman's new Tower of Power is the evolution of automation. Control hot liquor, sparge, and mash temps like a pro. The Tower of Power is a high-quality gas-fired rim system that works with your current brewing setup. With ultra precision, the tower can hold your mash to 0.5 degrees Fahrenheit. Precision and repeatability. The Tower of Power is the answer to automatic, fast ramp times. See more at BlickmanEngineering.com. Bring your next creation to life with the Tower of Power.
Dr. Glickmanstein, with the Tower of Power, you can probably give me an afternoon at the pub to enjoy a pint.
Don't be silly, J.P. Gore. We have beer to brew.
The best thing to happen to brewer's yeast in a century is from White Labs. For pro brewers and home brewers, yeast in the new Pure Pitch package powered by FlexCell technology redefines how fresh your yeast can really be. That's because your yeast is cultured, grown, and delivered all in the same Pure Pitch package. It's never been transferred and never been exposed to the environment. Pure Pitch is powered by White Labs' proprietary FlexCell container, which took 6 years to develop and is designed to be the best home your yeast has ever traveled in. Just cut open a Pure Pitch package and pitch the purest yeast possible. Learn more about Pure Pitch powered by FlexCell technology at whitelabs.com. And while you're there, sign up for one of the many great classes White Labs offers, like Yeast Essentials 2.0 coming up August 22nd and 23rd, or any one of their great workshops for brewers, distillers, and vintners. Pure Pitch from White Labs. 6 years to develop, refine, and perfect. 2 seconds to open.
Hi, I'm Jason Harris, the proud owner here at Keystone Homebrew Supply. We're thrilled to be entering our 20th year of supplying this great industry. And to show you, the Brewing Network Army, how much we appreciate your support, we're offering you 10% off your first order on our website, keystonehomebrew.com. Just use coupon code BNARMY at checkout, and I'll get your order out the same day. My goal at Keystone Homebrew Supply has always been to have a complete supply of everything a brewer could want. When you place your order online or when you come into our store, it's our goal to have everything on your list and more. One aspect of KeystoneHomebrew.com that we're really excited about is the ability to fulfill customers' exact grain bills. Do you hate to wait? Keystone Homebrew Supply can get your precious yeast and hops to you within just one day if you live between Connecticut and Virginia, and within 2 days east of the Mississippi. KeystoneHomebrew.com. I'm Jason Harris, and I approve this message.
Segmented, demented, fermented,
fermented.
It's the session.
All right, welcome back to the program, and thanks so much for hanging out with us. We're live here from the Hop Grenade in Concord, California, having some nice beer on tap, and and some mead. Will you grab us a mead of your choosing, please, Moskowitz?
I will indeed.
It's all in the main fridge there up front, and I think we have 3 or 4 different kinds of the Moonlight Meadery here. So we'll get some in a glass here in the studio. And in the meantime, we've got Susan Ruid on the line with us. Hey, Susan, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing all right. And thanks for being on the program with us. I appreciate it.
No, I'm honored.
I've got you a little bit muffled. Are you just on a laptop there?
Yep.
Okay, well, that's a little better. Stay close to it, if you would, please.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll help us out. Now, I know Susan from the AHA Governing Committee. She's been on the committee, well, longer than I have, and so she's been there since I've been on it, and a very nice person who I know has been passionate about mead for quite some time, right, Susan?
Yeah, I started making mead in, I think, 1996.
96, wow. Okay. Wow. Excellent. Who did somebody get you into it, like somebody got me into homebrewing?
Yeah, my homebrewing buddy, him and his wife really liked mead, and I had some of theirs and fell in love with it, and my husband fell in love with the mead, and so we thought we actually started homebrewing making mead.
Oh, okay. Interesting. See, wow. That would have been such an easier way to start.
Oh, for sure.
Well, not to make good. I still think it takes something to make good mead, but at least, like, the long day isn't there.
Yeah, there's not that elongated process.
Yeah, right. So that was, you said 96, right?
Yep.
But now, fast forward to today, and you are about to open a commercial meadery. Is that right?
Coming up slowly but surely.
All right. Well, take me through that a little bit. What got you to this point when you know to decide? You know, I think we should do this commercially.
I don't know. Just hit me one day that I really wanted to retire from the job I'm at and do something. I can't really retire totally, so
right.
Do something that would be fun. I thought this would be fun. Have some knowledge in it and.
Yeah,
we can make some money at it.
Sure. Well, I hope so too. Tell us a little bit about the space that you're going to put this meter in. Have you found? Do you need like an enormous building like Brewers do, or can you do this a little smaller?
Yeah, I think we have about probably. I think it's a little over 2,000 square feet, plus a little extra for a tasting room area.
Okay,
that's another. I don't know, 400 or 500 square feet. It's not too big, but it gives us room to grow.
Okay. What kind of equipment is needed for a commercial meadery? Obviously you need some, you know, large fermenters, but what about just for the mixing of the honey and water and other ingredients? Yep.
What I'm going with is about a 500 gallon mixing tank and then another 500 gallon fermenter.
Okay.
And then off of that, I have several smaller. I'll use several smaller fermenters.
Okay.
Well, I'm gonna start fermenting my batch and then transfer it into a secondary and add my fruit at that point. That way, fruit or spice or just as traditional. That way, I can get several different varieties going with less equipment.
That makes sense. Does the mixing tank have to have a heat source to, you know, to heat anything up, or do you just have kind of a hot liquor tank so that you have warm water going in? I don't understand the kind of mixing process.
The heat exchangers, I'm going to use one of those. It's heated on I think it's gas, propane, not propane, but natural gas.
Okay. Heated.
So it kind of basically the water comes through and comes out hot.
Comes out hot and sanitized, I assume, because of the heat.
It'll be probably 175, 180 degrees going into the tank.
Okay.
Close enough. I mean, we're going to use filtered water. So hopefully we'll see.
Do you have to build water at all like brewers do, you know, with salts and different things to get it the way you want it?
No, I've had no problems. All the meads I've made, I've used deionized water.
Okay.
What I'm going to be using is just going to be filtered, so there is going to be more nutrient or natural minerals in it anyway. But no, I've had really good luck just using deionized water. The honey has enough minerals in it already just from the natural way it's made. I guess at home I've always chose to use deionized because we have really irony well water. And so then you have to have a water softener. Well, then you have too much salt. So I just choose to bring the water home with me from work.
Okay.
That's interesting. I wouldn't have thought that.
Well, it kind of makes sense that you don't have to build it, right? Because when, like Tasty, when you build water, it's a lot of times it's to accentuate hops and different things. So we're talking about different ingredients here entirely,
yeah.
Where you're not looking to bring out certain characters like that with the water, right?
Or I guess, I think maybe what she's saying is it's inherent within the honey itself.
Because it has all those nutrients right there in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're not adding hops, so you don't need to, you know, create a water profile that would be conducive to hop aroma.
Anything like that, And there's no, like, water, you know, like we go, oh, make sure you do, like, you know, Burton-on-Trent water. Is there, like, a Viking water? So there's no, like, you know, standard water you're supposed to have, I assume?
Three parts blood.
Historically, it's been really shitty, dirty water, probably,
yeah, so maybe it's dirtier the better, Susan, maybe. And it's fine that it has all the ingredients you need?
I don't know. I think so, but
hence the filtering, of course.
And you are essentially, you can have a hopped meat.
You can.
Yes. So
have you done that?
I have not. I've had some excellent ones.
Okay.
The one I know of for sure is made by Moonstruck Meadery in Nebraska.
Okay.
No, hopped meat. I've had several others too. I just don't right off remember the meaderies.
Is the point, I guess, more for hot flavor and aroma than bitterness?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more the flavoring rather than, and I'm sure they're added at the end just as a kind of like a hop back.
Like a dry hop even.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense. And on a commercial level, like what form, how has this honey come into you? Is it still in buckets or giant barrels?
You're so confused by things.
I'll be buying it by the barrel.
By the barrel.
Yeah.
It just seems so difficult to work with is why I ask, because it's so, you know, thick, and how do you get it out of these things?
They make heat wraps for the barrels.
Yeah.
So you just put those around the barrel and heat it up and basically pump it out.
Yeah, they do the same thing with liquid extract.
Okay. Kind
of same thing, but I still envision you thinking they're shipping bees in, you're going to squeeze the bees.
Yeah, don't you just throw like a swarm of bees in at the end just for good measure?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's why the bees are disappearing. It's mead makers that are doing it. And,
don't get that rumor started.
Right, yeah. Okay, and it just and then you pump it out of the barrels like that?
Yep.
Okay, well, that makes more sense to me. I'm picturing this very difficult process.
Yeah, because... At home, a lot of unpasteurized or unfiltered honey, you know, it can be crystallized.
Yeah.
If it gets cold or sits around or whatever, so you have the heat wrap, you turn it up slowly, and you kind of basically melt it all so you can work with it, or else it's in chunks. It's in it's solid.
Right.
At Moorbeer, when we would get drums of honey, 50-gallon drums of honey, that's what we would have to do. And sometimes it would take days or weeks because you don't want to turn up too hot because then you're cooking off a lot of good stuff. So you want it very slowly.
Okay. All right.
If you have that problem.
Yeah. Well, this sounds fun, Susan. I think you guys are going to enjoy doing it. What's the name of the meadery that you're opening?
It'll be Prairie Rose Meadery.
Okay.
In Fargo, North Dakota.
Okay. And do you have a specialty? Like, is there a recipe that you're known for that you know made you particularly interested in making mead?
I guess I've made so many different ones. I'm going to probably just start out with a traditional mead, a melomel, which will probably be cherry or blackberry, haven't 100% decided yet. And then a methaglen, which is, I'm leaning towards, star anise, which is a licorice. There aren't a lot of other people making that. I also have thought about a ginger because people really seem to like ginger.
Yeah.
Nobody likes gingers.
A metheglin is the spice version and the melomel is the fruit version. Yeah. Okay. Just making sure I got that down. And then how is mead, you know, commercially when you distribute mead, does anybody put mead in kegs?
I have seen a few starting now.
Okay.
There's a few meaderies that are pegging it up and serving it on tap at locations. Not sure how that works, since mead is technically considered to the Alcohol Tobacco Trade Bureau is considered a wine.
Okay. So,
I assume that wherever they're served, they have to have a wine license also.
Oops.
Not sure how that works.
Okay.
Not every place.
Not every place.
Yeah. Well, if you're ignorant, you can, I guess.
But I've also seen it served, you know, like a cider is served on tap everywhere in all the beer bars. So
right. And that's not considered a beer either, is it?
Right. They classify cider as totally different, but yet they want to classify mead as a wine.
Interesting.
Hopefully some of that will get changed in the next few years, but...
Yeah, especially as it becomes more popular now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. Is that based just on the ABV?
I don't know. It's probably based out of nothing.
Or lack of knowledge of what mead is, and they just originally had no clue where to put it, so they put it under as an other agricultural wine.
I see. Okay. And your mead, when you open, will it just be available in bottles, not kegs?
Right. Initially, I'm going to go just bottles.
Yeah. I mean, it's an awfully high alcohol beverage to put in kegs. Although wineries are starting to do that now a little bit.
Yeah.
There's starting to be like Redstone sells their nectars, which are 7-8% alcohol. Those they keg.
Okay.
It's on tap around in Boulder and Colorado. So, I think the lower gravity meads, your hydromels, really lend towards kegging and serving on tap.
Hmm. Okay.
Well, what about in your tasting room? Will you be serving kegged mead there, or are you still going to bottle everything and pour it on the bottle?
It's entirely possible I'll do a few in the tasting room on keg because it's just a little more convenient and you don't have to.
Yeah. So all that glass and labor to get, yeah, it'd be great.
Definitely. I'm starting to like mead more and more.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
This Moonlight, which one did you open for us here, Moscow?
This one is the Wild.
Okay.
Oh, you guys are making me drool.
Do you like the Moonlight meads too, Susan?
I do.
Yeah.
He makes some excellent mead.
He does, right? He does a really nice job with it. And to me, it just, I don't know, it's just a little different than a lot of the ones that I've had. And I don't know if that's just that he has a particular skill in it or what, but it's just, they're always so well done.
Well, this one has blueberries in it, so would that be considered a Melomel then?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
He just doesn't call it that.
He might.
He calls it mead.
They're all meads, and then the Melomel is the variety, like, right?
or the
subcategory.
Yeah.
It may be that the TTB won't let him use the word Melomel on the label.
I see.
Oh, right.
So you won't be calling anything Melomel then either?
No, it will probably be called a blueberry honey wine, I'm guessing is what it says on the label.
Right. Yeah, you might be right. I think I remember talking to him about this. There are some weird things like that. Yeah.
That might vary state to state.
Maybe.
Well, that's a federal.
That's a federal rule.
I was going to ask, how has the state been... North Dakota with the meadery, has it been like a lot of paperwork and how's it been?
Actually, I haven't had to deal yet with the state too much. They look like it's going to be pretty easy in the state. We already have a farm winery license set up, so you just apply for the farm winery license, and it looks like it's only going to be a 3-4 week approval period.
Nice,
don't you know?
But I'm 2 months into applying for my federal license and haven't heard the word back from them other than approval pending.
Right.
It's very slow to get through the federal.
I'm sure it is.
Oh, geez.
Well, don't worry. Yeah, you know, at least you won't pay too many taxes once you open.
Right.
It shouldn't be too bad. Then the city, our city also has a license that's set up exactly for that, which pretty much matches the state license exactly. But they're a little slower to act on new businesses sometimes. So
Okay. Hopefully
that'll go through quick, but we'll see.
Now, are you doing it on your own property or a commercial space?
Nope. We're renting commercial space.
Okay.
Which is another shocker to me in that to get your federal license, you have to already have a location rented.
Right, which makes things so difficult and expensive, doesn't it?
Don't worry, I'll just pay rent for 8 months while you guys approve me.
And I'm not making any money or any product at the same time.
They may disapprove your location.
It's really great, isn't it, Susan?
Yeah, it's a backwards system.
Yeah, literally, it's backwards. You should get the license and then say, okay, now that I'm allowed, I'll go find a space that's suitable.
Yeah, why they can't do that, approve the person, because that's all they're doing right now is a background check on myself and my husband.
Right.
And that takes, and then they will come and inspect the location later. So
Yeah. Just
give the person their license, then they can find a location, and then they can approve pending the location. You know?
Right. It makes sense. By the way, I failed initially my background check. I don't know if I told that story, but I definitely failed.
Transamerica had an issue.
And you want to be mayor?
they were like,
well,
we're...
Well, those felonies to get in the way.
They're like, we are going to throw out your entire license unless you have a good reason for this failure. So, Susan, just make sure you were completely honest about everything.
What was the failure?
A clean deal.
The failure that I had was that I was arrested for DUI. But I ended up getting the charge reduced. And what I was told by my lawyer was that it actually disappears from my record because of that reduction, that it doesn't stay as what it is.
It doesn't stay as long.
So when they asked me on the paperwork, have you ever... I guess it's been convicted of a felony or something.
You mean convicted?
I forget what it was, the specific question. But the answer that I put down was no. And then, of course, and by the way, it's been, I don't know how long it's been, 13 it's years
or something.
Well,
I've been driving you around for about
and,
eight.
Yeah, exactly right. And it happened, you know, several years before that. And I was young, and it was a big mistake, and not proud of it. And but anyhow, I said no, and... they, of course, found it on my record, and they called Scott because he was the main person on the paperwork. And they said, "Hey, so your partner is a lying shithead, yeah." Essentially.
And I went, "Yeah, I know. This isn't news. What
and
do I do for you?"
Luckily,
about what
they got on the phone. They basically said to Scott, "Listen, normally we'd throw your whole application out the window right now. And by the way, Susan, us too, of course, because it works the same." We had already rented a space. You know, we're in it. We signed a 10-year contract on this thing. And he says to us, well, we can – I should be throwing out your application right now.
But we can negotiate.
I'm not going to. I want to find out what's going on with your partner. So get him on the phone with me. So I get on the phone, and he says to me, you know, we found this on your record. Were you instructed by your lawyer to lie on your application? Hmm. And I was like – that sounds good. Yes, I'm
no,
yes.
No.
No, no. I said yes, and he said okay. That is the only acceptable answer as to why you would lie on this application. I need you to come down here and sign an affidavit as to what happened and why. And it ended up being a very reasonable interaction with our ABC official. And he said, listen, I know what happened. I understand that you were told it would fall off your record. Right. Just so you know, in the future, when it comes to the government, nothing ever is going to fall off your record ever in your entire life. Huh. So just whatever you're told, don't do it again. If you're applying for a job, you go ahead and answer anything they tell you. But when it comes to the government, until you die, it's always on your record.
Interesting to know.
Yeah, he then scheduled a visit from the thought police.
If you've ever been for a felony.
Sorry, Susan?
The question asked if you've ever been for a felony. That wasn't a felony.
And it wasn't. That's why I think I'm mistaken about whatever the specific question was. Yeah. It was maybe just in trouble with it was something even lighter, like have you ever been arrested? Maybe it was that. Because other than that, I hadn't been.
Well,
but,
he also said, well, you were instructed to lie. No, I was not instructed to lie. He said that was all okay, and I was telling the truth the whole time.
Right. Well,
he did not tell me to lie.
That yes, except I could tell by the way he was asking me the question.
You should answer.
He was trying to do me a solid. Yeah, he had already, I think, figured out what happened. He had looked through the whole background, and I think he just needed it to be in the paperwork that he knew about it, that there was a reason, and that this was a reason that would fly. And it's basically true. I was told by my lawyer that you can say no to these things. Yeah. Anyway, I had to prove that I finished probation and whatever.
And we never did get our license, Susan, so you know, best of luck to you.
We're off the grid here.
So that's my little story, but Susan, you're a much more respectable citizen than I am. I'm sure you and your husband will be fine. You know.
I had a minor in possession, which I actually did the same thing. No, I had no felony, so we'll see.
Right, right. Yeah.
Come back to haunt me now, too.
Well, again, you just
told me to lie.
Be nice, and it'll be fine. It really, in my experience, as difficult as it was, in the end, there is still room for reason. If you can get face-to-face with somebody, it's always so much better than just the emails and the paperwork back and forth, you know, and even the telephone. And so with this one, I went down to the office, we got face-to-face, and everything was able to be sorted out. So there is still some reason within the system
of conquer.
You just have to dig for it.
And just remember that they're always watching you.
They'll never forget.
And they never.
Hey, and just like all your stuff on the internet.
Yeah, I know.
Code's really good. Maybe not that.
Yeah, Susan, I could never run for office, you know. What are you going to do? So I'm surprised I got elected to the AHA. it's tough enough.
They didn't ask that question.
Go ahead, Tasty.
Susan, you mentioned you're going to be opening a tasting room. Is there a big mead contingent there? Are you going to have a lot of people coming in, or do you have to build the clientele?
Yeah, good question.
I would guess I'll build a little more of a clientele. It's kind of a niche market, so
yeah.
There's a fair number of people around town that like going to the craft brew, craft tasting room, craft beer tasting rooms, and there's a few small wine tasting rooms. I'm guessing the same people will come in and try the mead, and
so you can
I'm sure you're going to fall in love with it. So
yeah. Well, that puts the onus on you to make some really good product that they're going to maybe be trying, for the first time. First time they're sitting down for a mead, and good for you. It's all up to you to make
it happen. Rock their world.
Yeah.
Plan on doing, once we get open, a few of the local craft shows and that type of thing, just to get get it out there so people are tasting it.
Well, it seems to me like initially you could just magically have a bunch of mead already made. Maybe through a home sort of project, while you're making these 500 gallon batches and waiting for them to be ready, you could, greet this small number of people that are going to show up initially with your your magically arriving sort of meads.
Well, they'd have to be at least a couple months after I get my licensing.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. Do they really know? I mean, they might think it's like beer, like 2 weeks later.
You do got to be careful. Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Might want to do some stuff early on, theoretically.
Yeah.
In your garage.
In the garage, yeah. Or just give it to them and they could, as long as they're not paying for it, I think maybe it's okay.
As long as they're not paying for it.
Oh, yeah. That's a good rule.
Just do the little take. And by the way, if our experience has anything to show for it, people will be showing up every 12 minutes at your door during construction. So, what are you opening? We love this.
Been there too much during construction yet. We've had, but that's the other thing. Construction is going way slower than I planned on.
What?
Yeah.
That never happens.
Susan, Jamil likes to give me shit about this because he told me in the beginning, everything's going to take longer than you think. And I said, no, I know. I get that. And he said, no, really, it's going to take longer. And so I doubled the amount of time, right?
Yeah.
And then it took about triple or quadruple longer. And every time I'm saying what you're saying, he's like, I told you. And I said, no, well, I did account for it. I just didn't think it would take quadruple the amount of time.
Good thing you didn't quadruple your guess in the beginning. Otherwise, it would have taken 10 times as long.
Yeah, that's rough. Be patient. Hang in there. If it was the only thing that comforted me, Susan, about that is that we were about 6 months behind. And people would say, oh, 6 months? You guys are doing great. Like, they thought that was really good.
What a sad state of affairs.
Long process. I had a question come in from the chat room for you. Somebody wants to know if you'll be using local North Dakota honey in your mead.
Oh, geez.
Yes, I will.
Excellent.
Actually, one of the requirements for our farm winery is by 5 years, 50% of my fermentable has to be from North Dakota products.
Oh, really? Oh. Interesting.
Initially, that's not going to be a problem because North Dakota is one of the major honey-producing states in the nation.
Lucky you.
Finding good local wildflower honey here is phenomenal. So that won't be a problem. And I think I'll be up to 50% of my fermentables coming from North Dakota the first year rather than the fifth.
Excellent.
Well, that's only fitting since, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't North Dakota one of the most alcohol-consuming states in the country?
I've heard that. It's surprising.
Such a personal experience?
Yeah, well, per capita.
You're on below the average?
Per capita.
Per capita, yes.
Yeah, because 12 people drink a lot of...
Yeah, coffee. There's a few guys up, upstate messing up the average, I guess.
Well, there isn't much else to do here in the winter.
That's true. Yeah, we saw the movie.
Well, you get the old chipper out.
Yeah, but you watch the movie, there's plenty to do, apparently. All right, Susan. Well, I appreciate you being on the show very much to speak with us, and I wish you luck with the meteor. I can't wait to try some.
Yeah, thank you. Hopefully late fall.
Late fall. Okay. Oh, so add a year to that. And then, yeah. No, not a year. You're gonna do fine. And really, I wish you luck. I can't wait to try it, Susan. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Keep an eye out for Prairie Rose Meadery in Fargo, North Dakota. And Susan's a very nice person who will be making some fantastic meat, I'm sure of it. Good stuff. All right, we're going to take us a quick break. When we come back, we'll do a little bit of feedback. Plus, we got a game to play tonight. We might get some Hop Grenade patrons to play. We're going to play beer or not beer on the session. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters on the Brewing Network. Adventures in Homebrewing has the knowledge and expertise to craft their own gear and original recipes. Some of the things homebrewing.org creates and manufactures in-house are the Brutus brew stands and propane burners, the Serial Killer adjustable two-roller grain mill with 7-pound hopper, custom stainless steel false bottoms designed to fit kegels, coolers, and mini-sized brew pots. And the BN Army receives 10% off their homebrewing.org orders when they use coupon code AIH10 at checkout. The brewers at Adventures in Homebrewing have designed a huge selection of original recipes for extract and all-grain brewing. Adventures in Homebrewing original recipes are tried and tested, proven to be of the best quality. And right now, Adventures in Homebrewing is shipping 24 of their best recipes for free. Visit homebrewing.org for the most current selection. Once you try one of Adventures in Homebrewing recipes, you'll keep coming back for more. And now, it's even easier with free shipping on these kits. And don't forget to use the current coupon code AIH10. Adventures in Homebrewing at homebrewing.org.
This is a public service announcement.
Hey, dude, I think there's...
What's wrong? You don't look so good.
There's something wrong with your beer. It's making everyone sick.
Let your beer make your loved ones ill. Proper cleaning and sanitation is the key to avoiding puke on your shoes.
But I used an all-in-one.
Cleaning and sanitizing cannot be done in a one-step process. No cleaner can sanitize, and no sanitizer can clean. The amazing chemists at Five Star Chemicals have your solution. Clean with BBW and sanitize with Star San.
Fantastic!
Your friends and loved ones will thank you. Five-star products are available at fine homebrew shops near you and online. Put your best beer forward with Five-Star Chemicals, your one stop for the cleanest two-step solution.
Downtown Joe's, where everyone is welcome, especially if you like drinking and tasting beer. Head brewer Colin Kaminsky's favorite beers are the Tantric IPA and the Double Secret Probation IPA. But you'll have loads of others to choose from when you redeem your exclusive Brewing Network savings. Downtown Joe's is the best brewery destination and the hottest night spot in Napa. Colin invites all homebrewers and fans of craft beer to stop by and enjoy the great food and beer. Whether you're in the mood for riverside dining, live music, or just hanging out at the bar to meet a person of the opposite sex or a person of the same sex, Downtown Joe's has exactly what you're looking for. And now just mention the Brewing Network to receive $1 off your beer at Downtown Joe's. That's right, take $1 off every one of their great selection of craft beers, including the Lazy Summer Wheat, Golden Thistle Porter, and the Triple Dog Dare You. Come to Downtown Joe's and enjoy the laid-back atmosphere of Napa's best brew pub. Visit downtownjoes.com right now for current beers, the live music schedule, or to drool over their delicious menu items. Downtown Joe's, your neighborhood brew pub, where everyone is welcome.
When I order a beer, I want my server to know more about it than I do. I want someone who enjoys good beer and loves helping others enjoy it too. I want someone who knows how to pour a perfect pint for every beer style. I want a Cicerone.
The Cicerone Certification Program is creating the type of people who help you enjoy great beer. Home brewers and craft beer lovers know beer is more flavorful and complex than ever, and it takes some serious knowledge to store and serve beer right. Cicerones know beer. There are three levels in the Cicerone program: Certified Beer Server, Certified Cicerone, and Master Cicerone. Cicerones are truly the sommeliers of beer. The best beer locations have a Certified Cicerone on staff. Relaxed and unpretentious, Cicerones are tested on storing and serving beer, beer styles, flavor and tasting, the brewing process and ingredients, and pairing food with beer. Learn more about your next beer guide at Cicerone.org. Certified Cicerone, because it takes top talent to present a perfect pint.
All right, BN Army, it's trivia time. What's the only homebrew shop with over 1,000 recipe kits, $4.99 shipping on orders over $100, and is also home of the Wolf shirt? The one and only answer is Austin Homebrew Supply. For over 20 years, they've specialized in creating recipes such as the best-selling Texas Blonde Ale, Apocalypso, Hop Bomb 2.0, and Double Chocolate Stout. And they just recently unveiled their small grain kits that produce 1 gallon of beer. Visit AustinHomebrew.com to browse their extensive catalog of equipment and ingredients. They also have mini clone recipes of your favorite commercial beers. They're the exclusive retailer of BrewVent Yeast Fuel as well, Yeast Nutrient, and the all-new Bodybuilder. Follow Austin Homebrew Supply on Google Plus to participate in video hangouts on popular brewing topics. So visit AustinHomebrew.com today and make sure you sign up for their weekly email with news and specials. Austin Homebrew Supply, AustinHomebrew.com.
You're listening to the Brewing Network. Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for hanging out with us. And welcome to the Hop Grenade if you're just coming in. You know, you can always come watch us live on Monday nights down here. You know, if you're in town ever on business or fun or whatever. Yeah. Come down to the Hop Grenade in Concord. It's just a couple blocks away from Bart. And we love to see your faces out here while we're doing the show. We got a great show happening next week, by the way. We've got Roger Davis from Faction Brewing Company is going to come on the program.
Ooh, Roger the Dodger.
Oh, we can't keep Faction on tap around here. It's such good beer. As soon as we put it on, right now, Roger holds the record for our fastest blown keg. We went through a keg of his summer IPA in less than 24 hours.
Wow.
A full half barrel keg, I'm talking here.
Nice.
Luckily, we had gotten two of them. So, yeah. Roger's doing great stuff over there, Faction. So that'll be our show next Monday. I encourage you to come down. It's also part of our grand opening. We're doing a grand opening on Sunday the 3rd. We do a ribbon cutting. We've got some free stuff going on. You can come hang out. We're working on getting you some barbecue here, too. And then on the Monday night, we're going to do a celebration for the show by having Roger Davis in with Faction. We'll make a special night of it, putting some extra Faction beers on tap. Plus, we might still have some of our special beers from the Sunday. And then on Tuesday, there'll be another broadcast happening here from the studios, I do believe. So it's a three-day extravaganza that we're having here at the Hop Grenade.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Who doesn't like extravaganzas, right?
Yeah.
All right. I need to let you know real quick about the Siebel Institute of Technology. If you've ever thought about taking a professional-level brewing course, the Siebel Institute has a contest for you. On September 26th, the Siebel Institute of Tech will conduct a drawing in which they'll choose three lucky winners to receive fully paid tuition in one of the amazing web-based courses. The top prize will be a paid tuition in their WBA Associate Program in Brewing Technology, giving one lucky student the ability to participate in an advanced level brewing technical program. There's no charge to enter. All you got to do is make sure you're signed up to receive our Siebel Institute e-newsletter before the September 26th draw date. Along with a chance to win one of those valuable courses, you'll receive updates about Siebel Institute events, services, and products, including the wide range of workshops, courses, and programs. So to make sure you're registered, just visit the newsletter sign-up page by going to siebelinstitute.com. Just fill out your email address into the e-newsletter sign-up area. For questions regarding the contest, contact Keith Lemke, K. Lemke, that's K-L-E-M-C-K-E, at SiebelInstitute.com. And for information about the courses, go to SiebelInstitute.com. It's a great giveaway.
Oh,
so
that's awesome.
It's, yeah.
The last bit of Bitter American?
Kevin just dropped off the last two fingers of Bitter American.
I'm going to give it to you.
So what Kevin doesn't know, so of course 21st Amendment made Bitter American. I had to work last night. I was closing because Kevin was crying about, oh, I'm so overworked. I never get a day off.
It's been 15 straight days.
Like really ever. What? The man has not had a day off.
Well, he never sees his wife except she's in here every night.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, I can't stand it anymore. I'm going to cry if I have to work one other. So I was like, well, listen, if you're going to be a little bit bitch about it. I'll work. I'll go ahead and close. And I made it my personal mission to kick the keg of Bitter American while I was working. Because I love the beer, for one, so I figured it'd be fun while I was at it. Wow. And two, it's low alcohol, right? Like, it's a session beer. So if I got to work, I mean, I'm responsible.
You better work.
I'm responsible. Yeah, I'm a responsible bar owner. And I failed. JP kicked it for me today instead.
Yeah, that's what I do.
And so I think a new pale ale will be going on tap here in a minute. But
can it just be Bitter American again? It's the best beer.
Well, you're pouring the Dale's pale, but that's more seven, like an IPA.
It's 7%.
Yeah, it's like
pale ale, my balls, dude.
Misnamed, yeah.
Balls.
Maybe in the can it's not as...
I don't understand what you just did.
I removed the buzzing from my left ear.
Yeah, but you just... unplugged somebody.
I unplugged Moskowitz's computer.
That's what I thought.
It was the only variable in an otherwise unbuzzing mixing board, so I thought I'd give it a shot, and sure enough.
Paid off.
You're just unplugging...
It's a buzzer.
...random things out of this random
board. Random to you. But see, it's like when you reach over, when I'm in the dental chair, and you reach over and grab an instrument without even looking at what it is, and then jam it into my mouth and start drilling something. You know exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, well... Okay.
This is my instrument panel.
Granted, you've got two panels with 50 knobs on each one, and you grab a knob and you twist it... maybe an eighth of a turn.
Yeah.
And then you look, and then you grab another one and turn another eighth of a turn, and then you're good.
Yeah.
Doc just doesn't like the two inputs not being in something. They're flopped on the desk.
Look at right.
Doing anything.
It's now unkempt.
Him. Yes, it bothers him. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Cut it
Why
off,
do you
Doc?
Have these if we're not using them?
Well, we were using them, but it was a fail. Scott has a noisy laptop. Which, by the way, often happens with laptops. We have to do a ground lift on his plug.
And I really like the professionalism that you like put all these together. Did you get this tie?
Scott also did that because he knows that I would freak out like a douchebag if I saw wires all over the place.
Yeah, but you tied it with that thing you tie your grapes together with at Safeway.
I didn't. Scott did. And he did it because that's better than it dangling all over and me yelling for no reason.
Two things.
Yes.
Scott's computer is probably from 1995.
Oh,
yeah.
Geez, late 90s.
It's as old as his flip phone, if that's what you mean.
Full blown dinosaur. And second, I have somebody named Nicholas on line one. He is calling from, I don't remember if he said Switzerland or Sweden.
One of them, Orkidarsenar.
I literally just asked him, and I forgot.
And you don't know the difference anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Go to bed. It's too late.
And what's he calling for?
Don't be a dick. You know, I don't know because he's real, real drunk.
I think one is the capital of the other one.
A drunken Swede.
Is this our first drunken phone call in the new space?
No.
Theo Brew.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Pretty drunk.
But this guy's real drunk.
Okay, Nicholas.
Am I on?
Wow.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you are.
You're on, buddy. How are you?
Oh,
my.
Well, I was thinking that you always like to talk to the girls, but she's snoring in the back here. I don't know.
Is he?
Who's slurring?
Is it Sweden? Where are you from?
Is it Sweden or Jersey?
Sweden.
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 It's in North Jersey. Yeah.
Yeah, in the north.
So what are you telling me, that your wife has passed out and we can't talk to her?
No, she's not my wife. She's somebody else's wife.
Oh, okay. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. I just ask
it. It doesn't really matter. It's not that relevant.
Come on.
I think this is the cousin of who ate all the pies.
It could be.
It
They're
sounds
definitely
like
a distant
pies.
Relative. Yeah.
It's got that same overseas distortion thing.
What time is it? Where are you calling from? Sweden?
Yeah. It's
so you can't remember.
Sydney,
after
I think.
After 5 in the morning, so I don't know.
I bet it's still light there.
And when did you start drinking?
I told you, Sweden.
No. I got off work about 4 or something, and then we started drinking beer.
So 12 hours ago.
We went to the... Yeah.
And what?
East.
What?
And then, had a couple of home roots and had a couple of everything, you know?
A couple of everything.
And then when I talked to Beaver, and he shut me down. And then I thought, okay, I have to up my game. And then I had some barley wines and...
Did you feel like Bevo shut you down because you weren't drunk enough?
Yeah, hey. You have to up your game then, right?
I like your thought process. He's like, listen, if I just drink a little more, they'll take my call.
I'm up in my naming.
He kept calling and saying, where are we? Where are you in the show now? And I'm like, where are you calling from?
I don't know anymore.
What kind of homebrew did you drink?
I had a wheat beer on top. So
wheat or wit?
Wheat. Belgian wheat.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Did you drink any Swedish beer tonight?
What?
Have you drank any Swedish beer tonight? Is there Swedish craft beer?
Sure. Gefilte Fish Brewing Company.
Of course. I made it. It's Swedish.
See?
I crafted it.
There you go.
I got a collaboration beer over there.
You do? Oh, that's right. With
Malmo
Brew. I tasted it.
You had to get some of
it?
Did you get some of that?
Who's this?
How did you like it, Nicholas?
It was bullshit.
How did you like it? Was it good beer?
Yeah, it was great. It was awesome.
It was awesome. I've been drinking it for 12 hours.
Nice.
I was born into it.
I stopped tasting it six ago.
All right, well, Nicholas.
Then, now when Beavers shut me down, then I thought, okay, I had to take something stronger. And then I found this six glass from the Boulevard.
Okay.
Quadruple... whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And then the girl passed out here, just behind me. And she did. She wanted me to go to bed with her, and I told her, no. This is the only time when I'm still awake when the show is on. And
so I tell her,
go to sleep. You go to sleep yourself, and I'm going to sit there to listen to the show. And totally passed out.
Wait, and this is
the one. You want me to try to wake her up?
Is this the one that's somebody else's wife?
Yeah.
As far as you know.
Do you want me to try to wake her up?
Yeah.
I can't promise that she will wake up, but I try, and probably she will get angry and slap me in the face.
Okay, that's fine. Just bring the phone with you. We want to hear the process.
I'm standing here beside her right now.
Okay.
Let's see.
I bet you can wake her up.
I'm going to talk to Swedish now to wake her up.
Okay, right? Don't hit her or anything. Just, you know.
She doesn't wake up, put all the blood back into her.
You're talking to these guys, okay?
She doesn't revive quickly. Call 911.
She's turning her hand down in the pillow again and saying no.
Yeah, well, take your hand off her back of her head.
Come on.
Yeah, pick up all the syringes and stuff.
Yeah, before the ambulance comes, make sure you get rid of all the drugs.
Yes. Yeah, talk to them. Come on.
Hello.
Come on. America calling. Don't be a bitch about it.
It's America calling.
All right. Settle down over there.
Europeans are so rude to their women.
Wow.
No, this is a lady.
Obviously, right?
I don't think there's even a lady there.
Sophia.
There's
Sophia.
No.
Sophia.
Yeah. Well, Swedish is that, Sophia? Sophia.
Yeah. He's making it up.
Well, why do you want to know about her?
All right. Yeah. That's fine. I think it's everything's fine. Nicholas, our drunk of the week today, ladies and gentlemen.
Congratulations.
And thank you for the phone call. And thank you for staying up so late to participate in the program.
Halfway around the world.
Do you have to work today, Nicholas?
Below my knees now.
Do you have to work today?
Yeah. It's a couple of hours.
A couple hours away.
Wow. All right. Good luck, sir, and thanks for playing.
Drink some water.
He's a cab driver.
I got to be at work in a couple of hours. I'm a bus driver.
We're children.
I'm the mayor of my town. Bus driver.
I drive the high-speed train between here and...
I
don't know where.
Stockholm.
Thank you. Thank you, Tasty. Tasty knows my geography skills are about as bad as my math. All right. Well, that was interesting. And
or more than interesting.
Drunk of the Week is always a fun phone call when it happens.
Not always.
Right.
Well, and it really happened. That really happened. That just happened.
All right. Let's do some feedback.
Yeah.
This feedback. Week.
Where's it?
Who's feedback brought to us by today?
As long as we get feedback.
Beer Law Center.
That's right. Feedback's brought to you today by Beer Law Center. Our good friend John over at Beer Law Center, he protects my trademark, and he can protect yours, too. He specializes in the craft beer industry because he loves craft beer. Not because we have tons of money or anything, but because he just has a special niche for this thing, and he does like us, and he likes craft beer. So check it out, beerlawcenter.com, and John can protect you, too.
He'll help you step on the little guy.
Yes, like us.
Or if Justin's still working.
Or should I not burp now that the show is aired into the...
Well, they're all burping out there. Well, they can know if it's them or you.
Yeah, okay, but it's louder out there.
It's much, my burp's yes, much louder out there. I didn't feel like... I'm still getting used to the two separate environments.
Yeah.
Might have to... I think we might turn off the speakers in future shows. I'm getting close to it already. It's they're possible. Not listening
they're
anyway.
They're not listening at all.
And I feel like... I don't want to feel like I can't either burp or... call people names, you know.
Yeah,
I think or talk about good-looking people when they walk by the window. Like, I feel like
Doc's been elbowing me through the whole show.
Yeah, like I feel like I'm censoring that part too because I don't want to. But
peep.
You know, there was some night. There was some talent tonight, right?
We're looking the other way.
Yeah, well, I did that on purpose, Tasty, because if you guys were facing the other way, I'd be me here the whole every show.
It'd be my phone, the window, and one more distraction.
Yeah, one more exactly. So. All right, let's do some feedback. Hey, BN folks. Scott writes in, last week there was a pretty hot conversation over on Reddit.
What do you mean by hot? Is that some sort of sexist?
No, this is the one I was referring to about us, basically being called misogynists over on Reddit regarding the Brewing Network. And I was wondering if you could comment on it. The original poster of the topic was upset by the mannerisms of members of the BN staff. Including some of our hosts and well-known contributors, claiming misogyny and bigotry as well. I'm personally a fan of the show and able to look past the sick jokes, maybe even laugh at some, while shrugging off others. So I'm not able to condone or condemn with regards to others' thoughts, but the discussion took a very interesting turn towards women in the homebrewing culture. By the way, I feel like if you have to look past our jokes, like I don't like that. I feel like that he's sort of trying to stick up for us, but by saying I can look past your, the things you say.
Yeah,
I think I'd rather you not listen. I think you don't get it.
It's kind of like saying, "No, I know you're a douchebag,
but I'm okay with it."
But no, I'm not okay with it.
Because it basically, to me, means that you're agreeing with the posters who think that we are either bigots or misogynists. And I would defend that we're not pretty much to the death. Like, I think it's a ridiculous claim.
I think if you say that we are, if you use those words, you don't know the real definitions of those words. Look them up.
I see.
You know, not an Urban Dictionary, but actually look them up.
Well, he's not saying
I know, but to your point.
Look them up in Urban Dictionary.
Not an Urban Dictionary.
Oh, I see.
I got an argument with some guy who was quoting an Urban Dictionary definition of a word. I'm like, seriously, dude? That's like citing Wikipedia.
Yeah, like if you want to know what a golden shower is, by all means.
Right.
Urban Dictionary.
Sure, or a lamb sandwich, but you know.
What's a lamb sandwich?
We talked about it. We made that up, or a Greek sandwich, I think. Some weird lunch.
I prefer lamb sandwich.
I think it's maybe that's what it was.
Is it on there, do you think?
I don't know. I think we made it up.
Let's see if it's there. Yeah. Can you look it up for me, Scott?
Is that like an MLT?
But that's what you're saying. Like, if you have to defend it, or if you go, I can look past it, well, you don't really understand. You don't understand it.
Right. Can we can we respond to this just by going into our sexist jokes right now instead of actually?
Yeah,
I don't really feel like I have to defend us anymore.
Again, I'm tired of it. Like I said last week, not one email to feedback.
No
complaining. Meanwhile, the whole thread is, well, if you guys don't like it, either don't listen or contact them and tell them what you don't like about it.
Yeah.
But nobody's done it because people just want to complain on the internet.
No, I don't want them to not listen. I don't want them to like it. Just
you prefer them listen and not like.
Exactly.
I like your attitude, Doc.
Well, I'm sorry they don't like it, but if they don't, don't listen.
And I'm sorry they don't like it too. And I'm not saying don't listen to it. I'm just saying
I have to give a presentation at an event called the Podcast Movement.
Mm-hmm. And is it an event?
It's the. I have not been invited to that yet. Okay. It's a cool thing. It's the first ever, and it's for podcasters and a lot of the presenters. It's about podcasting, how to help other podcasters. And one of my topics is about not listening to advice. basically. Because we were I was told in the beginning that it's ridiculous to do a three-hour program, that I should stop cursing, that we should not joke like we do off the air, because once you're on the air, it's a different thing. And we ignored all of that.
Oh, no.
And did exactly what we felt was right and what was funny. Our only meter was funny,
right,
and entertaining, and it worked. And it clearly worked. We're at the top of our game.
You didn't do it the first show?
I didn't?
No, because you...
I did a four-hour show.
You cut us off, and I'm going, I'm not done.
Oh.
And you said, no, we got to let... We're supposed to cut it off. You said, we're supposed to cut it off. We got to let them want more.
Oh, well, that's true. But that was still at 4 hours, not at a one-hour show.
And we weren't done, and we were... Yeah. But after that, it was like, let's just go back on. There was a couple of shows ago. Let's just go
where
back
we
on.
Weren't back,
back on.
Yeah. All right. So anyhow, what else?
You can't listen to advice.
At least I don't. And maybe it was a bad decision, but it seems to be working.
Oh, yeah.
He says, due to the discussion, it turned towards women in the homebrewing culture. There aren't a whole lot when compared to the overwhelming amount of men that work or play in the brewing world. And it was extremely alarming to see them post. Every one of them saying something to the tone of, it sucks that I as a woman am looked down upon among fellow homebrewers. would you say to women in the home? What would you say to women in the homebrewing community who have expressed their concerns regarding partisanship and bigotry among their fellow homebrewers? You want me to address that, I can do that. That's fine.
Turn the view off.
And I read the thread. It started about us. Then the entirety of most of it was not about us at all, except for people saying, like, where is an example of these ridiculous things that you're claiming? And there really weren't any examples given. The examples that were given were kind of what I'm talking about, which are not either bigoted or misogynist.
Right.
What would I say to women in the... I did notice that there were women chiming in on the thread, not talking about us at all, only talking about homebrewing and feeling like, when they... different things like, oh, when I first started going to the homebrew shop, it was like, oh, what are you here to pick up for your husband? Like those sorts of comments. They felt a bit looked down upon. And what I would say is, speak up or go to a different homebrew shop. It is not my experience around the Bay Area and around the National Homebrewers Conference that women are looked down upon or looked over for brewing positions. I certainly agree that statistically there are an enormous amount more men in the brewing industry, but I'm not willing or really able to speak about why that is. It's just sort of kind of how the lay of the land is. But things are changing. But I have not seen any direct, chauvinism in the industry, and certainly not around women in homebrewing in our area, not in the Brewing Network Club. I attend. It's always hard for me to go, well, we have women on staff, so we're sort of proving that it's different, because I don't like to do the, well, I have a black friend, so I can't be racist. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to sound like that.
But
Nicole Ernie, for example, is one of my favorite people in the brewing industry, not just because I like her so much as a person, but because she is one of the most knowledgeable about beer and how beer tastes and the real chemical compounds that make up flavor. I love having her here as an expert, and I don't care if she's a woman or a man when it comes to those things. I love her because of her expertise when she's on the show.
Kim Wood?
I
was getting at the same thing with Kim Wood, who brews circles around so many people we know.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Now, I would
also go
a little farther and say that I believe that there, and I think everybody does, whether they admit it or not, there's a difference between masculinity and femininity. And I like having Bevo on the show, not just because Bevo is great, but because she adds a feminine aspect to the program that I cannot add. And I don't think that is misogynist or chauvinistic. And so I think that we're not only encouraging that women are equal in our industry, but also understanding that women are different. And why wouldn't we want that? And to have women around because it's different and because we're not all the same. It's like why we want JP around. He's the most different person I've ever met on the planet.
That's right.
That's a weird association, but
it's all right.
Yeah, it's about the variety.
It's not about variety.
Not just in gender, but in people.
Right.
I would say a lot of these people complaining about going into the homebrew shop and saying, oh, what are you getting for your husband? And they get offended. They've probably never worked in some sort of retail environment where, as a customer service representative, you kind of play to what you see every day.
Well, I don't think that makes it right.
No, it doesn't necessarily make it right, but it doesn't necessarily make it sexist or misogynistic or homophobic or whatever, anything,
it's
right?
It's a forgivable assumption.
Yeah. Yes, because, you know what I mean? Because you're doing the same thing. You're interacting with the same people five,
they can't
six,
blame
7 hours
that assumption.
Every hour.
Right.
And working at More Beer.
Right.
We had that, I never just assumed. There's a difference between being a bad retail person and being a misogynist.
I see your point. When a hipster comes in, I always put on Dashboard Confessional.
You should.
And a lot of times they don't appreciate that.
Just offer some mustache wax.
And they don't appreciate that.
No,
so.
But that there's a difference. And I think people, especially online, just want to bitch about stuff.
Yeah.
Point in fact, they have not yet emailed in, like people have been saying, why don't you tell them about it? Contact this point. They haven't done it. All they want to do is just, they want to be heard, and they go, oh, okay, I feel so much better. I feel like I'm doing something. But they don't talk to the shop. They don't talk to the problem. They just go, oh, well, that was so sexist. He just asked me what I want for my boyfriend.
So speak up.
Like, dude,
speak up.
Just more to the point, look at the other side. Maybe that person just, it was a flub. It's nothing has to,
it was a
nothing
mistake.
To do with your giant boobs in his face.
It was a mistake.
I would even take it a step further and say that it's probably not even happening, or at least not to the degree that they describe. It's their perception. Like, for example, we have a lot of reviews already about the Hop Grenade, and 99% of them are glowing and talking about how fantastic the staff is and how well the staff treats the patrons. And then there's one who is talking about how the staff is, mean, and they treated them like they didn't know anything. Now, is that the staff, or is that how the person is perceiving the world happening to them?
I don't know, but who do I got to fire? No. Yeah, their perception is 9/10 of the law. Is that how the saying goes?
Yeah, of course, it's perception.
Nobody
it's their opinion.
Out there is less than friendly. It's that one person on Yelp that wants to post it.
Right.
Right. Well, so just to maybe sum up this topic for Scott who wrote in, I would tell women, speak up if you feel that's happening, and I bet you that usually the answer is either, oh man, I'm sorry, I actually didn't mean to say that or come off that way, and I didn't realize. I've done that before where I've said something and someone's called me on it and I went, oh, now that you point that out, I didn't realize it sounded like that, but I see your point. And I didn't mean, that wasn't my intent. So I'm going to, next time I deliver that message, I'm going to take your advice and deliver it differently.
Yeah.
Because I didn't mean, that's not what wasn't my intent. And so I would say speak up a little bit. And certainly, if you've just had one or two experiences in the homebrewing world that made you feel uncomfortable as a woman, I don't think you're in the right spot. I don't know how to explain that because I haven't seen it happen. So come out to California, maybe. Is that good advice? Yeah, come hang out with us.
There's nothing unusual here.
Definitely. Yeah, I have many more prejudices that I could think. Yeah. Stow on you. I don't really like horses.
especially the short ones. They're so creepy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The miniature horses.
Not even speak up. Just have a conversation with that person.
Right. Well, that's what I mean by speak up. Right. I don't mean yell on Reddit. I mean exactly when it happens, go, hey, by the way, I'm the homebrewer. This is not for my husband.
Or,
and I think that was a weird comment that you made to me.
Yeah.
And I guarantee the person, like you're kind of saying, JP, goes, you know what? That was habit, and I'm a dick. I didn't mean to do that.
Make a joke about it. Everything is fine. It'll be fine. Your beer sucks anyway. It's going to be terrible, so don't worry about it.
All right, Rich writes in, I've addressed this already, that the session from 6/16/14 won't download. It should be fine. You might have to unsubscribe and resubscribe to the podcast, but I fixed it. It should be good. I tested it myself yesterday. Or not yesterday, last time I addressed this, which was like a week or two ago. Let's see. Chad writes in.
Chad.
What's up, my favorite brewing guys and gals?
Oh, it's us.
I just wanted to write you and thank you for all the beer info from over the years. I've literally listened to 95% of the shows from the session, Brew Strong and the Jamil Show. The information's amazing, and I'm happy to be a private in the BN Army Southwest Michigan Brigade for the past 3 years.
Yay!
Thank you for that support. I appreciate that very much. I worked the past 10 months in packaging at Michigan's largest brewery.
Yay!
But that changed.
Packaging?
That changed a month ago.
Racist.
I wanted to tell you that I am officially a professional brewer at Old Mill Brew Pub and Grill in Plainwell, Michigan.
Yay!
Yeah. Without the information you guys provide on a regular basis, I'm not sure I could have gotten to this point. So thanks for helping me to get my dream job. P.S. Suck at JP.
I will. I hope that town well is like just crusted with bedazzled jewels. It's not plain at all. It's very opposite.
Right.
Thank you.
All right. And let's see. Matt from Virginia writes in.
Matt from Virginia.
It's titled Things I Love About the BN.
Right. Yay.
I don't understand number one.
Okay.
I forget what it is.
One is that you are, parentheses, mostly back. Does that mean we have big asses?
Yeah,
or
I don't
that
know
we're
what that is.
Or that we're back on the air?
Tasty got back.
Like, I don't know.
Did you just say tasty got back?
Yeah, I don't know. What's that mean?
There's other people in the world.
Clearly, they're talking about Tasty and Bevo.
They're
if he's saying that they
you
most,
didn't know that?
You mostly have back.
Bevo's got back.
So there you go. Number two. Beardy. He's been an awesome addition to the crew. He's Beardy. The perfect combination of humor, brewing info, and hairy blindness. If it's not official, I motion that he be ordained as a brewcaster.
Huh?
Well, on this one, Matt, I could not agree more. Yeah. I think Beardy's been awesome, and he is a lot of fun. He's because he asks great questions, and then he's a funny guy. I didn't know he was funny when we invited him on here. I just thought thought he'd be fun to make fun of.
Right. Didn't we fire him?
Turns out he's funny.
Sully fired him.
Oh, that's right. Sully fired him, yeah.
From his brewing job, though.
Oh, from he fired him from Heretic?
No, he fired him from 2NA because he's like, oh, the new 2NA brewer is Beardy.
And then he fired
him. You know, Warren's heart probably skipped a beat for a second.
I actually, I think he fired him from the show, too.
No, I think he fired him from the show.
Yeah.
Well, he's not here tonight, so.
Well, Beardy, you'll have to go through the rehire process to come back on the program.
Send me your resume. I'll forward it to the appropriate people.
We'll get some more delousing powder.
And finally, he likes that Sugar Valley Brewer answers every Twitter game with a comment about Bevo's ass, no matter how off-topic or nonsensical it is. I didn't know that, JP. Don't read them all the
time.
No,
I do.
Oh, you do?
Every time he does it, I read them.
Oh, you do?
So he doesn't do it all the time, but 9 times out of 10.
Always.
Yeah.
Always about my butt.
Where does Sugar Valley Brewer live?
In Sugar Valley.
Hell.
I feel like you guys need to meet one day, and I think it's going to be a magical moment
for him.
I really for me, because I'll get to use my bear pepper spray for the first time.
Yeah, I really think that Sugar Valley is the reference to Bevo.
Oh, you?
That's Sugar Valley.
He's talking about the Sugar Valley. Yeah. Interesting,
Doc. Why are you such a creeper?
I know. Sometimes Doc outdoes himself. He outcreeps himself.
I meant to say it before, but you know, the more it keeps coming up, it's like, yeah.
You can look forward to that on a future edition of Brews the Line, is it anyway?
And then JP put in a spam of the week. I think to fuck with me.
Yeah.
Is it all in French?
I don't know. Try it.
I can't.
There's no way I can even.
Just read the vowels.
You can use Bing Translator.
Chez Benon, Nenon, et Pascal. I can't. I'd have no idea how to pronounce any of these.
You're doing great. Just keep going.
Most of the letters
Send it to Blob. Is Blobber in the chat room?
He is in the chat room.
Yes, he is.
We need that.
JP, can you email this over to Bevo?
Yeah.
And then have.
I can just email it over to Blobber.
And have him.
Please, I would love to hear
call
that.
Call in and read it to us.
We'll have him do the...
get him to call or Skype.
Do the spell.
Call in
Skype,
and
please.
Sing
Skype.
It to us, even.
En ton ton.
Great. Flavor's going to sing to us a French... It's probably not even French. He's like, I don't know how to read this. It's not French, you idiots. Well, that'll be fine by me.
I hope that's true.
Yeah. All right. Well, why don't we do this? We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll hopefully talk to Blobber and have him read us some spam of the week. But also, we're going to play beer or not beer. So do we have in-studio contestants, Tasty? We have one in-studio contestant. And then we'll take a couple callers to play as well. Sound good? All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, beer or not beer. Hang in there. It's the session.
Listening to the Brewcasters on the Brewing Network. Hey, dude, you know what beer this is?
Oh, no, all the labels are falling off.
Yeah, or the ink is run.
Well, if it's a pale ale, you're good. But stay away from the quote-unquote Belgian.
Oh, man, this guy needs to get some grog tags.
Grog tags are reusable, write-on, wipe-off, commercial-grade bottle labels for your brew. The guys at Grog Tag are homebrewers. They wanted great-looking, sturdy labels for your bottles, buckets, carboys, kegs, and growlers. They also wanted a label that not only looks good, but can be easily removed and reapplied during bottling, without that nasty glue residue being left behind. No residue, water resistant, and ice chest approved. Grog tags stay on in water or an ice chest, and they stay legible. Visit grogtag.com to customize your label or coaster from dozens of different templates for free and see how awesome your bottles can look.
Ugh, it's that pseudo-Belgian.
Yeah, we're getting him some grog tags, dude.
Grog tag. At least your beer will look good. Grogtag.com. A few things happened 30 years ago.
ARPANET migrated to TCP/IP, and the Internet was born. Revenge of the Jedi was renamed Return of the Jedi and opened in theaters. Mila Kunis and Emily Blunt were born, beginning a rad fantasy in my mind.
But all of that pales next to the fact that HopTech opened its doors and began blowing homebrewers right out of their mesh tuns. HopTech doesn't fuck around. Real people shipping awesome shit straight to you. Their new website is fast and easy to navigate. Or just call 800-379-4677 and let badass bitch Jade and brewing brother Roberto blow their warm load of customer service all over you. So visit the site or visit the store in Dublin, California, and support those that support you. Get your brewing on at hoptech.com.
First Amendment.
Watch out!
Do you like beer?
They make beer.
Watch out! Do you like friends and fun? They make friends and fun.
Watch out!
Do you still like to have a good time? The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
The 21st Amendment in San Francisco, located at 563 2nd Street, two blocks from the building where baseball is seen and played. Try their beers in the pub or try them in the can, featuring
Monk's Blood.
Made with real monk.
Watch out!
So why not have the best time of your life? Go to the 21A and Sean O'Sullivan will personally greet you with a can of
Monk's Blood. The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
This advertisement is not in any way affiliated nor associated with the 21st Amendment Bar and Pub, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates. This telecast is not copywritten by the 21st Amendment for the private use of the Brewing Network. Any use of this telecast without Jamil Zainashev's consent is prohibited. Suck it, Jim.
Are you a member of the American Homebrewers Association? Well, you should be. Members of the AHA can focus on brewing beer, and the AHA takes care of the rest. The American Homebrewers Association advocates on behalf of homebrewers like you to legalize the hobby in all 50 states and make sure that beer laws make sense. Plus, there are many great benefits that come with your AHA membership, like AHA member deals that give you awesome deals at bars, restaurants, breweries, and more. Zymergy Magazine and eZymergy for tons of articles, how-tos, easy-to-follow recipes, and news about the hobby you love, and access to the members-only content on homebrewersassociation.org. But the AHA can't do it without your support. Join today so the American Homebrewers Association can keep fighting for your homebrewing rights. Visit homebrewersassociation.org or join now from the homepage of the Brewing Network website. Relax. Don't worry. It's the American Homebrewers Association.
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters, this is Jamil Zainashev, and I want to tell you about Heretic Evil Twin. You might be familiar with my homebrew recipe, which uses massive late hopping to create a balance between the malty sweet and the hoppy bitter, along with an outrageous malt and hop character. I wanted a beer with the same bold hop and malt character, so we played around with the homebrew recipe until we were able to make a great commercial version too. We've created a beer rich in malt character, full of caramel, toast, biscuit, and an ever so subtle roast note. On top of that, we piled in an insane amount of Citra and Columbus hops at the end of the boil, as well as in dry hopping. This damn-the-cost approach to hopping gives Heretic's Evil Twin a great blast of citrus and tropical fruit that can't be matched by any other hop. The result is a bold, malty, hoppy, but easy-drinking beer. This is our top seller, our flagship beer, and I couldn't be prouder of it. Cheers.
To find Heretic beers near you, click on Find Some at hereticbrewing.com.
Brewcast
Busters are back.
888-401-BEER.
Whatever.
Yeah. Welcome back to the show. Thanks for hanging out. We got some people in the studio. We got some people outside of the studio. It was a nice Mead Monday. I think so, too. It was a nice Metal Monday, too. JP, don't let me forget to play your metal song.
Why would you forget?
Got some hardcore, just because I do.
It's terrible.
I listened to it. It actually was sent in a couple weeks ago, and I forgot about it. But I was reminded of it, and it's good. And it's perfect for Metal Monday, Mead Monday.
All right.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. All right, so we're about to play Beer or Not Beer. You guys remember this game. It's where we give you the name of a beer, and all you got to do is tell us if it's actually a name or if we made it up. And what we've done with the rules this time is we're just going to keep reading them to you. And the first one to get three correct wins. But if you get three strikes before you get three correct, you're out. We're hanging up on you.
Go to prison forever.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's like Family Feud.
Yes, it's right.
Is it? I don't know.
I have no idea. There are three strikes in Family Feud. You're right. You're correct.
Just the three thing. It probably makes no sense at all. Yeah.
All right, so we'll go to the phones first before we go to our in-studio. And by the way, Rima is in the studio with us. She's hanging out.
Hello.
Rima is with Ninkasi Brewing Company. We're big fans of Ninkasi here. And she came in just to see the bar. And we were like, well, since you're here, we're going to abuse you a little bit and make you play our game.
Because that's sexist.
So, so Rima's hanging out with us just a little bit. But first, let's go to Zach in Madison, Wisconsin. Zach, what's happening?
Not much. Just drinking beer, listening to DN.
All right. I love it. That's exactly what we want you to be doing on a Monday night. And we're going to play Beer or Not Beer. We're just going to start reading names to you. If you get three strikes before you get three correct, you're out. If you get three correct first, we'll send you a prize. Good enough?
Good enough.
All right, Zach. Here we go. Scott, what's the first beer?
Merlin's Magic Martzen.
Merlin's Magic Martzen.
Or Martzen.
Or Meriton, yeah.
Preferably Meriton.
Marsden.
Marsupial.
Oh, it's Marsden.
Merlin's Magic, what do you think? Beer?
Not beer.
Not beer, he says.
That's correct, not beer.
Okay. Yeah, that one, if somebody did name it that, they would be very poor at naming beers, don't you think?
That's correct.
Hey, guys, what if we call this one Merlin's Magic Meriton?
Woo! I don't feel that is within his character specs. Have brewed a Meriton.
Okay, I would buy
he
that.
Would probably more brew a gruet or some type of smell-o-mel.
Okay, before you decide, if I roll anywhere between 1 and 27 on my 87-sided dice,
yeah,
we'll call it Merlin's Magic. But if I roll from 28 to 87, then we'll go with your name, Gruet.
Sometimes you have the worst ideas, but I like how you help sort them by going to the dice.
It's one of my powers.
They have realm. They have...
it's a strength of mine.
I don't know.
I have 8 strength points in naming things.
Can you pass that code red in the bag of Doritos? I'm kind of running real low.
Yes. All right, what's the next beer name?
Belligerent Ass Brown.
Huh, that one's tough because there are some people out there who are like, this will be good because we'll put ass in it. And the TTB might say no, but we'll just do it at our tap room then.
I want Zach to just throw his answer out there before the peanut gallery weighs in.
Yeah. Sorry. Scott's very concerned about the rules.
Why not? These are just the rules, Justin.
He wants to have an uncontested contest.
Yeah.
What do you think, Zach? Beer or not beer?
Yeah, I'll say beer.
That is beer. That's from Portneuf Valley Brewing in Idaho.
Yeah.
See, because if we put ass in it, we're going to get some good press.
All right.
Just for clarity here, these don't have to be TTP approved.
No, these can be
pub beers?
Yes.
Yeah, right? Because, yeah, exactly. You can do it at your pub with these. Is that the rule, Tasty? Is that how it goes? Like, if it doesn't have to have a label and leave your pub, you pretty much can name it whatever you want.
TTP wouldn't like that ass thing at all. They had said jackass or something.
Right. But it's allowed if it stays in a pub, I think.
Yeah, you don't have to register those beers.
Well, clearly that one's real. All right, Zach, so you're 1-1.
No, you got both right.
You got both right.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so one more and you get a prize.
Yep. But if you want to give him 1-1,
I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
No, Scott's a stickler about the rules tonight.
Somebody is.
All right, go ahead.
Spleen Cleaver Scottish Ale.
Spleen cleaver.
Is that like, you know, yeah, beaver cleaver?
Go, Zach.
Beaver cleaver?
Yeah, beaver cleaver.
Yeah, not beer.
Before you answer, so he says not beer, but before Scott gives the... I feel like this is a quote from Doc in one of our shows. He's always talking about spleens and
livers.
Spleen cleaver scotch ale sounds like something Doc would have said. All right, what was Zach's answer? He said it was not
he
a
said
beer.
Not beer.
All right, and the answer?
That is beer.
It's a beer?
Yes, from Tommyknocker in Colorado.
Really?
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Doc, are you friends with Tommyknocker Brewery? Is that how this happened?
I'm friends with my spleen, though.
All right, two right and one strike. Let's get the next one.
BP for my bunghole, Baltic Porter.
No fucking way. Not beer.
See, this one's too obvious, though, that it's not beer, don't you think, JP?
Well, because it's tap room, and so you don't...
So it could be anything.
It's every guess is a 50-50 guess.
And I'm thinking Scott picked this because it's too obvious.
What would JP
so
say?
I'm saying
sure.
It's a beer. Because you...
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not? 50-50. Either you're right or you're wrong.
Well, that's not what I'm asking.
No, I'm just trying to help you out.
That's a life.
Not helping at all.
Life is 50-50.
All right, so he says not a beer. Go ahead, please.
Not beer. Zach is a winner.
Oh, all right,
three,
Zach.
There you go.
All right, Zach, send an email to bevo@thebrewingnetwork.com. Actually, I'll just put you on hold. How about that? We'll put you on hold, and Bevo's going to take down your information, and we'll get you a prize. Go ahead, Beav. In the meantime, Rima, are you ready?
I'm ready.
You ready to play?
Let's do it.
All right. You want me to get your boss on the line and to encourage you to represent Nikasi properly?
I think Jamie's off on the beer camp tour right now.
Oh, is that what he's... He's busy.
He's having a time of some sort.
He doesn't give a shit about what you're doing.
He knows how to party on a bus, geez. I'm sure.
All right, Moscow, let's play with Rima.
Money shot cream ale.
I really hope not.
God.
I hope so.
No. Really?
There's no way. But no.
No, she's right off on that one.
That is beer. That's from Oscar Blues.
No, really?
Oh, yes. Are you serious?
That's a pretty big brewery to be going for Money Shot Cream Ale.
That's not packaged, right?
Oh,
that's
Lord.
Not a TTB.
No, it must be in the...
You forget the goddamn TTB tasty? Jesus.
Right. Otherwise, we'd never get to play this game.
So, well, that's, sorry, yeah. Sorry, that's true.
Strike one already?
Strike one.
Beautiful blonde... I'm sorry, beautiful bimbo blonde.
Well, see, now you're
I don't
me.
Know. Now I just
now
kind of doubt
shy.
Myself.
Yeah.
After Okay, yes.
Hang on. I want to chime in on this one.
Rima says beer.
That's her answer. She says, yeah, it's a beer. I don't think so. I'm thinking this one, in today's day and age, just gets people in too much trouble. Okay, I don't think It's just somehow, what was it, on my face, cream ale or something? What
was the other money one? Shot
Thank
cream
you.
Ale,
somehow that one is like more acceptable than the beautiful blonde bimbo.
Why do you
bimbo.
Assume the money shots on the face?
What, really? What are they served next door?
Good question.
What's the blonde next door?
Ditzy blonde.
Ditzy blonde is next door.
That's racist.
At least sexist.
Well, the Ditzy Blonde is named after names the beer, so it's...
Oh, I see. I think it's not a beer. I'm going to go with not, just because I think it's fun to play along. JP, what do you think?
I agree, not a beer.
Yeah.
Why not?
All right, what's the answer?
The hosts are correct. Rima is not beer.
See, it's too offensive. We're allowed to talk about money shots, but we're not allowed to talk about bimbos.
That's right.
It's a weird thing.
Anything with a double entendre, right?
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
That's okay.
Well, I guess the blonde thing is you, and the money
what
shot is on
about?
You.
Is that the logic, Doc?
Yeah.
All right,
you got two strikes.
All right, next one. Two strikes, one more strike, and you're out, Rima. But you still could win. You get three in a row, like
right.
The Boston Red Sox.
I got
Sox.
A good feeling about this one.
Right. Citra Ass Down IPA.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's a good one.
That is so good.
I would be disappointed if somebody did not use that.
Agreed. Yeah. And if they haven't, someone better after this show, right?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, take that thing.
So what are you going to say yes?
I say.
Citra Ass Down? That's such a good name.
It is, and it is beer. That's from Against the Grain in Kentucky.
I just want to give them a round. That's a nice beer name right there.
That's a good one.
And I'm not a big fan of beer puns, but that's just nice.
That was good.
Yeah.
All right, we got two strikes and one correct. Next one is Not Your Grandpa's Stout.
Yes. That sounds familiar almost.
It does sound familiar. I'm thinking yes on that one, too.
I don't know how I missed Money Shot, though.
From seriously, if it were from some random brewery, but from Oscar Blues.
Blink and you'll miss it.
Well, because a missed Money Shot is really bad.
Well, it's good for her.
Yeah. I mean,
all right. So what's this one called again?
This one is Not Your Grandpa's Stout.
All right. So you're saying yes, Rima?
Yeah.
I would vote yes, too.
No.
That is not beer.
Really?
Three strikes, baby girl.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I suck at this game.
Huh. I'm really bad at it, too. Clearly.
I would have scored the same way
that
you did.
That would be the money shot.
I don't think money shot would have been a beer name. That's
really
I'm still
100%. Familiar.
Just want to point that out.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's usually not your grandpa.
You got to speak up on everyone to claim that. Otherwise, you could just be lying.
I did.
If it's in your head.
I did the last one and then this one. I said
you
did?
No. Yeah.
You thought money shot cream in her face? I mean, cream ale. Was a beer?
I didn't get
that. Tasty's like me. We all of a sudden, we just automatically assume.
You mean Bukkake cream ale?
Oh, wait. Hey, is there a Bukkake cream ale?
If not, there should be. You just pronounce it differently. Bukkake.
But it's also kind of ludicrous. Redundant, isn't it?
Yeah. All right. Let's go to...
You got a consolation prize. You got a setup.
Let's go to Goosehead in Kentucky. Goosehead. Hey, buddy.
That How's it going, guys?
It's going well. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Do you know of the Kentucky brewery that we just mentioned?
Against the Grain.
I do. I'm familiar.
Okay.
Is that a beer?
Let's check.
No, it's the Citra Ass Down IPA. You had that one?
Oh, yeah.
I have not had it. Nope, haven't tried that one yet, but it sounds like an awesome one.
Well, if you ever see them or you go in there, you tell them the Brewing Network thinks they're pretty damn good at naming beers.
Sit your ass down and have one.
Yeah, tell them to contact the Rare Bear.
I will definitely do that.
All right, let's play with Goosehead. First beer name.
Bride of Chucky Whitbeer.
I like it. Another good name. What do you think, Goosehead?
I'm going with beer.
Saying it's beer.
That is not beer.
Oh, you made that up, Moskowitz?
I did. Strike one.
That's a good one. Are you a fan of the Chucky movies?
No, I'm not.
No?
They're awful.
It just came to your mind for whatever reason?
You know. Chucky 3 was the best one.
Chucky movies are fucking fantastic.
They're awesome. They're all
the
amazing.
It's so good.
They're all amazing.
We should have Chucky Tuesdays here at the Hofstra Day. Metal Mondays and Chucky Tuesdays.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That would be
good. We could all dress up in our...
their doll, their murderous doll outfits.
I'll bring the puppet in.
All right, next one.
See you in Hellas.
Good name. What do you think, Goose?
Oh, man. I was going to alternate one and then the other, but that one sounds too good. It has to be a beer, right?
I think so. And if not, this is another one of those names that should be.
Yeah.
I'm going with beer.
All right.
That is beer. That's from Snake River in Wyoming.
Yeah.
Okay. Good name. So what is he?
One ball and one strike.
Okay.
Blithering Idiot Barley Wine.
It is a good name because it's what happens to most of us after a little bit of barley wine, or a lot, really.
Right.
Yes.
I'm feeling not beer.
Not beer. I would go not beer, too. It's a clever name, but I think not beer.
That is beer. That's from Weyerbacher in Pennsylvania.
I see him warning you off of the barley wine. They always give you, a smaller pour. Mm. It's barley wine. Be careful of that.
It was on tap at, I think it was on tap at Z's, as a matter of fact.
Oh, really?
I think so.
My favorite place.
Oh, like we could remember that.
Love me some Z's in Grand Rapids, Michigan. If you're ever in town, karaoke Tuesday through Thursday, I believe.
Right across from the Marriott.
Yeah.
J-Dub, too.
That's my hood right there.
Stumbling distance home.
That's my hood. That's my Grand Rapids hood. Everyone else is going to some of the best beer bars in the country. We're like, what's up, Z's? Karaoke. Every night. Carry on.
Where's he at? He's at two karaoke. Strikes and one correct, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, this one is Dr. Morton's Clown Poison Pale Ale.
All right, I'm going to give you a lifeline on this one, Goose. You can pick anybody in the room. We got Bevo, we got JP, we got Rima, we got Tasty, myself, and Doc. Moscow knows the answers. You can't pick him. If you want to get a second opinion, you can still make your own, but you can get a second opinion from anybody. So give us the name again.
Dr. Morton's Clown Poison Pale Ale.
What do you think, Goose?
I want an opinion from Bevo.
All right. Bevo, what do you think? Dr. Morton's Clown Poison Pale Ale.
That's too many words. I don't think that's a beer. No, really. Dr. Morton's clown poison. That's a mouthful.
It'd be all wordy and shit.
It'd be all wordy and shit.
In the if famous words like, of Kanye it was, West, it'd be all wordy
don't
and
be,
shit.
Don't be all wordy and shit.
He said that just, about. He actually said that about books pale? Once.
He did.
He said that they
books be all wordy.
Well, because he wrote a book, but he wrote his own kind of book, and his comment was, "I wrote my own because books be all wordy and shit." Wow. And so his it has like two words on everything.
So sidebar: if you ever have any extra time, you should YouTube Josh Groban singing Kanye West tweets.
Oh, that sounds good.
Funniest thing ever.
That sounds great. All right, so you're saying not a beer. What do you think, Goose?
I think I got to go with Bevo's recommendation, not a beer.
All right, he's got one chance left here. If it's a strike, go ahead, Moskowitz.
That is beer. That's from Abbeydale in the UK.
That's stupid.
Leave it to the Brits to be all wordy
Brits
and shit.
Brits are all wordy and shit.
Stupid.
All right, Goose.
Fun for bitches.
Yeah, sorry, brother. Thanks for playing, man.
Thanks, man.
Later. Sorry.
All right. Let's go to Lulu Gumshoe from Anaheim, California, I assume.
Anna Slam.
Lulu, what's happening?
Hey, guys.
Oh, my God!
All right, you know the rules?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Do we take female callers on this show?
No, we do sometimes.
Oh, we do.
And then we say terrible things and we become chauvinist.
All right, you ready, Lulu? Here's your first one. It is conceived in the backseat barley wine.
Holy literal.
Yeah, if it just said backstreet barley wine, I might go, or backseat barley wine, I would go with that.
But conceived in the backseat barley wine. But it's too random. Sorry, Lulu, you have to answer first.
There'd be too many words.
It's too wordy and shit?
Too wordy.
She doesn't want to swear. Her cats are listening.
So you're going to say it's fake?
That's
you're
not a beer.
Scott sucks at making up names?
She's saying it's fake. I'm saying it's too random to be made up. I mean, Scott's clever, but that one's just weird. Like, he doesn't think that way.
In the banks.
Yes, he does.
He does? yeah. Maybe you're right.
Thank you.
Him and I share the same porn channels.
But don't go with my advice, Lulu, because I'm just stabbing in the dark here. All right, Lulu says it's fake.
She's correct, not beer.
Oh, wow, Scott, what's wrong with you? That's a weird one. What were you thinking of when you came up with that?
Three guesses and the first two don't count.
Did you have your pants on when you wrote that one?
Yeah, well, you know, it was cold in here.
Okay.
Were you reflecting back on something?
He's like, the first time I got drunk on barley. All right. All right, Lulu, that's 1 point for you. Let's hear the next one.
Desecrated gravesite saison.
Oh, Jesus. I hope this one's true because I'm super creeped out by you now with two in a row if it is not true, Moskowitz.
Yeah.
I was
we may
so...
have to have an intervention
yeah.
with
I don't know what he does in his free
right,
time,
like,
but I'm
like,
super.
That one's real creepy.
We are checking your browsing history after this one if
don't.
This is a fake beer.
Yeah, we're going to have you under analysis.
He's out chalking like headstones. You know?
Yeah.
All right.
Why
that better be a beer.
Even?
Lulu, what do you think?
Just to throw a little curve into it.
You know, it's like, it just sounds too cool not to be a beer, you know? I'm going to say it is a beer.
Oh, God, I hope you're right, Lulu.
I hope you're right, too.
That is not beer.
God damn it, Moskowitz.
I knew it.
Yeah, you're a creeper.
Saison? Why would that be a saison? Desecrated gravesite? So, Scott,
Moskowitz, what is wrong with you?
So, Scott, when's the last time you had a good, long sit-down with a therapist?
Last week.
I'm going to give you... You did? Because I was going to give you Steve's number.
I heard they came up with this.
You might still need it.
You might be in the category of work for free.
Maybe you should double up.
Yeah.
Oh, therapist said, just let it out.
Yeah, you know, whatever, this is Scott letting it out.
Whatever is your outlet, I know that... Art is your thing.
Right.
But somehow,
so are
words
games.
Are your art. Let it out.
Right now, it's sort of squeaking out, barely. Yeah. I'm afraid for when it bursts.
Like a fart in church.
Yes.
If I let it out, he might be like, reel it in, reel it in.
So where's Lulu? Two right, one wrong?
Yeah. One and one, isn't she?
I think you've done three.
She got conceived in the back seat. She missed desecrated gravesite. And did she get... I don't know. Where are we here?
I think we've only done two.
I think we did two.
She's one.
She's one.
She's
and
got
one.
Two. She's got one more to get.
Great. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Pig's ass porter.
I got no help on this one, Lulu. You're on your own here.
Pig's ass porter.
Yeah. Pig's a filthy animal.
One charming motherfucking pig.
You better be. Come on, bacon's good.
Oh, man. Yeah, that one's tough.
Yeah, what do you think?
I'm going to say it's a beer.
She's saying it's beer.
That is beer. That's from Harvest Moon in Montana.
All right. One wrong, two right. You get another one right. You're a winner, Lulu. Go ahead.
Win now.
Feline urine, single hop Simcoe IPA.
WTF, Scott.
Well, at least this one has some, like, basis in reality. You know, things that we've talked about on the program.
Like urine.
How do you know
and
it's me?
And caddy.
Okay.
Lulu, what do you think?
No, I don't know. I just think it's too gross to have, like, urine in the title.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, that's not going to sell beer, is it?
And cat pee is an off flavor, isn't it?
Yeah, but we
not with Simcoe.
I like that Bevo is asking. I mean, right, guys? Like, cat pee's bad,
that's
right?
That's bad, right?
But we would call it cat piss. We would not call it.
It's not enough flavor so much as an undesirable.
Lulu says fake. JP, is this a fake one for you?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so, too. Go ahead, Mouse.
That is not beer. Lulu is the winner.
Lulu wins! Yeah. All right, Lulu, I'm going to put you on hold, give your info to Bevo, and thanks for playing.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Yeah, cheers. There you go. And that is your game of beer or not beer. I think well done, Moskowitz.
You think?
I mean, it was good radio, but it's left me concerned about your well-being.
And your hygienic qualities.
Yeah. And I don't know. Yeah, I know your folks are coming down here next week for the grand opening.
We will not be playing this game.
We will not be playing this game, but I feel like I need to sit and talk with your mom for a few minutes and just make sure you're okay.
What will we be playing?
She's not going to know.
What did the Jew say?
Know your Yiddish?
Yeah.
No, we can play some
We could play that
Yiddish.
With Marty, actually. Yes. We could definitely play Know Your Yiddish with Marty.
That'd be good.
I feel like Kim Moskowitz is full of surprises. I think we should get rid of Moscow for a few minutes and have Kim come in and do some radio with us.
Oh, God, no.
Because I think...
No. You think I need therapy now?
Yeah. I think she'd be fun. She was fun last time she came in. I made you, like, cover your ears or something. Didn't she help us with Adam and Eve or something?
Hell no. You're dreaming, baby.
You made her leave.
Oh, yeah. I did. Okay. That was probably a good idea.
Probably.
All right. Well, thanks for playing, everybody, and we appreciate it very much. Hey, real quick, let me let you know about Beersmith. If you don't know already, you can go to beersmith.com right now and download your free 21-day trial of the Beersmith brewing software. You know, it helps you do all your recipes and maintain your ingredients. I mean, you name it, this program does it. I can almost guarantee that if it doesn't do something you need it to do, then you're doing even creepier stuff than Moscow over there. It does almost everything. But you don't have to take our word for it, because you get a free 21-day trial anyway. But I also wanted to let you know, I think I let you know last week, that John Palmer has done a instructional DVD with Brad over there at Beersmith. And of course, we love both John Palmer and Brad. So want to let you know, it's there aren't too many up-to-date how to brew DVDs. And it's kind of like a basic, like, get you through brewing DVD. It's an update to the How to Brew book, if you will, but in a short DVD form. So you can purchase it now on Amazon Prime. You can go to beersmith.com and just click the DVD button and find out how. Amazon Instant Video. You can rent or buy online from Vimeo On Demand. So there's all kinds of ways to get it. So if you're looking for a way to help a friend learn to brew, I think this is probably a pretty good way to do it. And the DVD is called How to Brew with Malt Extract. So it'll get you started right away with two great guys, one of them being just such an expert on brewing, John Palmer. Mm. Beersmith.com. All right. Is our work here done today, pretty much?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Twitter game. We got Twitter game.
Okay, good.
Tweet.
What was our Twitter game today?
It was describe the new BN... beer category for the BJCP.
Yes. Guideline, if we were to update. Have a beer category, what would we do? I like this topic. I think the BN should have a beer category.
I agree.
You're going to need to give me a couple seconds while my document loads. My laptop just died.
Failed.
Well, it's not too late to get a new category in, I think. It's sort of like the preliminaries are out, right?
That's correct. We could still get in on this?
Yeah, I think we could still get this in.
So if we got some real submissions that weren't just like Bevo's Big Ass Brown, for example.
Right. Are you serious?
Wait a minute.
Are you spoiling it? Are you fucking spoiling my game?
Oh, is that? That one was too obvious anyway.
Right.
By the way, we have Blobber. How about we do Blobber while you're on the line there?
Well, actually, I'm ready, but you can do Blobber.
I think Blobber has videoed Skyped me, not just normal Skype. So I'm sorry, folks at home. I get to actually look at the young man.
Well, I'm not complaining. I don't want to see.
Do you know how old Blobber is?
No. Guess. Hi, Blobber.
Hi.
How old are you, Blobs?
No, you have to guess.
All right, I'll guess.
Guess how old he is.
46.
No, but really do it, though.
Let's see. The video is fantastic. Flopper is the most amazing looking person. And he's dancing wildly. I think Blobber is 47.
What?
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Be honest.
All right, he's...
Be real.
36.
Really?
I think 36.
That's how old you are, and I are.
I think I'm 37 now. Am I 36?
Wow, that's depressing.
I think
you're
36.
I think I'm almost 37.
I think we're the same age, but you're older than me by like a month or two.
September, so I'm almost. Okay. Blobber, how old are you?
You're close. I'm 35.
Are you 35? Then what's the big deal?
Well, because I didn't think you would actually guess it.
Oh, did you think I would go younger, like he was real young?
Yeah.
Or
no, older. Oh. I thought you would go older for some reason. He told me I was blown away.
Oh.
No, I'm older than him. And he has like a giant family and lives underground.
He does live underground.
Yeah. He moves mountains.
In a hobbit house.
And I moved gas.
Blobber, did you get the feedback email that we sent you?
Yes, I think you should respond to this. I think it's legit, and I think it's going to make you a billionaire.
Oh, this is a good spam.
Don't respond, Blobber. That's mine.
Are you prepared to either read it or sing it in French for us? And then, of course, you'll have to give us a general translation.
You want to hear it in French? It's going to be very long and... Okay, I'll sing it.
How about... give us...
yeah, that's not going to be longer.
Don't twist his arm or anything.
Give us just a little bit of it in French song, please.
Yeah. Okay, I'll just start right in the middle of it.
Okay.
A parce que dans des réseaux de sécurité, placé sous mes affaires quotidiennes, je veux toute votre communication de passer par mon cousin. The grammar is terrible.
Wait, so spam emails in French are the same as spam emails in English, and the grammar is terrible?
Oh, worse. That legit. It's legit. I think you're going to... This is a winner.
Blobber, your French makes me feel like I can speak French.
Exactly.
It's not as sexy as the French I've heard.
Your made-up French sounded better than
Blobber's
actual.
Trust me, I go to France, I don't understand what they're saying either.
Is that right? Okay. Yeah. What is the gist of the pitch?
Dearly beloved, my name is Pascaline Bongo and Frey, the daughter of ancient President Omar Bongo.
Ancient Nigerian, the bank thing.
The word ancient and president don't
go. Okay.
For more confirmation, please Google and you will know more about me.
Oh, of course.
The reason of trust I have lost in the organizations of my country, including my own husband, Paul Tagui, I have inherited $550 billion.
Wow! This is a good spam.
Of course,
investment in this country, in your country specifically. I have obtained contact through search of person.
Oh.
And I have attained by this way. I will give you detail when you answer.
Just
because,
one detail.
Network of security placed on my belongings and my affairs. I must communicate through my cousin. I hope sincerely we will. Je ne peux pas visiter l'ambassade. Visit your communicate through my cousin. I hope certainly.
Me too. I hope your cousin's hot.
I cannot visit embassy. Reasons of nature is of my work. This is why I contact you.
Great.
I will be happy.
I'm a spy.
To receive funds, keep in security. I assure you, something good will happen of this for you.
Of course. Do you know how many hop grenades we could build with $500 billion?
Well, and even if it's just 10% true, I mean, then there's still plenty of cash.
You're right.
$5 billion would be plenty.
Blobber, I feel like you should respond to this one for us.
The best part is you're going to meet face-to-face his cousin in the safe of a bank in either one or two countries, Madrid, Spain, Turkey, Istanbul.
Oh, I'm going to go with turkey. I feel like that one's safer right now.
You're going to meet in the turkey? Vault of a bank, but only one's going to come out.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that whatever the address is, it is neither a vault or a bank.
Yeah. Why does it say shanty town in parentheses? I don't know.
Yeah.
Fucking do it.
Yeah. It's like a little zip up. It's a zipped bag. That's where I'm meeting. Over my head.
$550 billion, guys.
I think it's worth a shot, don't you, Bob?
You know what? You know, so, even if it's a small part of that $550 billion,
that's the Moskowitz logic. Absolutely.
It's worth it.
All right, Bob, what do you think? Should we go for it? I mean, you're the expert here, so we'll go by your advice.
There you see her sitting there across the way. She don't got a lot to say, but there's something about her. You don't know why you're dying to try. You wanna kiss the girl.
You're such a terrible person.
Yes, you are.
All right, Bob.
Name that movie.
I have no idea.
Well, she wants you to.
Aladdin.
Only one way to ask her.
Little Mermaid.
The Little Mermaid.
Don't take a word.
Why would anybody in this room but you be able to name that movie?
If I knew, I wouldn't admit it.
She's
in
a different room.
La 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 la, my oh my, look at the boy too shy. She
can we play the Twitter game now?
Blobber clap, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. Thanks, Bob. Later.
I think he said something about Asgard in there.
I don't know.
He said ass.
I have no idea what that means. All right. How are we on the Twitter game?
Well, we're good, but I kind of fucked it all up, so hang on just a second. There we go, I got it!
Unfuck it up.
All right, so Kevin the Drake writes, the new BN beer style should be called Meiselbach.
Oh, that's good.
Pretty good. Craig Keller says, roasty Mountain Duschbach. Kind of a German thing going on.
Not
John
bad.
Indisch writes, shitty homebrew. Which I personally, I think that's my favorite.
That does need a new column all its own.
John Foster, our good friend John Foster, says Concord Imperial Session.
Not bad. That isn't bad, actually.
Hive Mind Mead says oak-aged fermented dumpster cheese.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't even know. Casey Price says Brian Hunt style, do what you feel, styles don't matter. So I think he's advocating just blowing up the BJCP.
Okay.
Brian Chapin says, low in calories to help Bevo get rid of her mom jeans.
Oh, God, look at her face.
Low in alcohol to further prevent any drug abuse. That's the winner, I think.
Bevo, stand up. Are you wearing mom jeans?
No, I'm wearing mom jeans.
Today? Do you have mom jeans on today?
No,
my belly button is here.
Where? I can't see, but there's a monitor. Okay. Yeah. All right, yeah, those aren't mom jeans today. You did
sure,
all right.
Sure they are.
Did you fold down the stretchy pants?
I was thinking jeans as in...
I'm going to come out of this
G-E-N-E.
Booth and I'm going to cut you.
All right.
That's it.
Well, that one...
Those are the best ones.
What was the first one again?
Meiselbach.
Meiselbach, yeah.
Well, it's between Meiselbach and mom jeans.
I like Meiselbach a lot.
Me too. That one's good. Are we good with Meiselbach, everybody?
Yeah. Sure.
Meiselbach, you're our winner today. Send Bevo an email, bevo@thebrewingnetwork.com. That's BEEVO @thebrewingnetwork.com.
You're lucky you won, because if mom jeans is one, I would have never responded to the email.
Yeah.
So we knew that.
So, the hardcore song.
Oh, yeah.
All right. It was sent in by our friend Brandon Zettis, and it's about JP beating cancer.
Okay.
And it's called...
Because I did a lot, right?
It's actually, it's really good. It's called Fuck Cancer.
Oh.
And it's Metal Monday.
Okay.
It's definitely a metal song.
All right.
So if you don't like metal, tune out now.
Right.
Actually, I would say even if you don't like metal, I think you might like this song.
Hey, just tune in and shut the fuck up.
Should I read you the lyrics before or after in case you can't understand screamo?
We need to guess. We need to guess.
Guess the lyrics?
For sure.
All right. Then I'm going to play you JP. Oh, it's actually called JP Made Cancer His Bitch.
Oh.
That's what it's called.
That's a good name.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Is that sad that I can understand what he's saying?
Yeah.
I'm cranking it up in my headphones even. I love it. Even got a breakdown.
Yeah. Why wouldn't it? This is when the pit kind of calms down a little bit. Yeah. I do.
I mean, did a song ever get written, a hardcore song, ever about a man who loves to pet his cats?
Probably. But not this hard.
And Disneyland.
And Disneyland. Hard. And Fast Pass.
It's hardcore.
I'm not going to lie, I want this.
Yeah. No more neck tubes, bro.
No more neck tubes, bro. No more neck tubes, bro.
None. None more.
Come on, that's good, right?
That's good. Yeah, of course it's great.
I feel like if you were dying of cancer still,
yeah,
and we played that song for you,
yeah,
you would kick cancer's ass.
I would.
It would liven you up.
I would kick myself in the throat.
I was just going to say you would kick yourself in the neck.
Yeah. Brandon Zetti sent that in for you. I think that's...
He needs a hardcore... He needs a metal name. He needs a nom de plume.
Yeah.
He can't just be Brandon Zetti's. That's not very metal.
I think you're right. We're going to have to come up with a band name for him. Maybe that's next week's Twitter game.
The Grinder.
The Grinder. Yeah.
That's his porn name. I don't know.
My favorite part is No More Neck Tubes, Bro.
No More Neck Tubes, Bro.
And also, when JP goes to Disneyland, he doesn't wait in line. He's got the fast pass. I mean, that's such... And he does it in such a hardcore way. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Fucking fast pass.
Yeah. It's all metal. They don't even take it from me.
Oh, it's ridiculously awesome. All right. And that's our show for today. Except to let you know about our wonderful sponsor over at Adam and Eve. You can go to adamandeve.com right now and use coupon code BNARMY. That's BNARMY. And if you do so, you'll get 50% off just about any one item. You'll get free shipping. And you'll get three adult DVDs. And there's a lot of categories for the DVDs.
Yeah.
Such as... Bevo, you turned yourself off.
Idiot.
Why is your microphone dead all of a sudden?
Did you push a little box right
just
there?
Just yell really loud.
There you go.
Celebrity?
Celebrity.
Oh, that one hasn't been named yet. She yelled celebrity. That is a category, isn't it? Is that one like where they're like celebrity sex tapes? Like the ones that are... Why is everybody off? Oh, because I turned everybody off.
Okay.
And I forget to use my microphone, and you yell at me all the time. You turn down the whole board.
Well, it was for the song.
I thought you just froze like a statue. Just
celebrity.
Okay.
Also, if you're into 50 Shades of Grey, apparently there's a whole entire, the official collection of 50 Shades of Grey available on AdamandEve.com. So if you like kinky crap, that's your place.
I think that's all we need to know, unless, Rima, you want to give us category?
Money shots.
Money shots. It's a whole DVD of just money shots.
Notice to the other.
It's not. Attagirl.
It's not singular. Plural.
It. Money shots.
Oh, yes. Better be multiple.
If you're gonna do it.
Come on, man.
Yeah, so you're not gonna sit there for like an hour watching one money shot.
All right, go to AdamandEve.com right now. Use coupon code BNARMY. Get all that plus a free gift, and they're really good to us. So go be good to them, and then you can be good to somebody with the gifts that you get.
Yeah. So maybe be good to yourself. You deserve it.
You do deserve it. AdamandEve.com. Don't forget, they have the iPad Fleshlight now.
POV, girl. Get your iPad on.
Girl. I have a Fleshlight. Get a view.
I'm waiting to do that ad one night here at the Grenade. And I mentioned the iPad flashlight, and someone out there goes, "Oh yeah, no, it's cool."
You want to borrow mine? Because I got the whole library. Dude, I'll zip it to you.
Got it all. All right, now I think we're done, right?
Yes.
Okay, let me announce once again, and I'm sure JP will do it, but we want to hammer it home. Don't forget that we're having our grand opening celebration next Sunday. That's August 3rd. And then on Monday, we got our next show. We got Faction Brewing Company coming in here. We got Roger coming in. Now, we talked to Roger before they open, but a lot has happened, and especially in terms of making amazing beer. So I think it's going to be a good show, and you should come out to the Grenade to see it if you're in the state, if you're in the country.
We're totally not done here. We got a lot more to go.
We do?
Nah, I'm just doing a thing. We're doing a Roger thing.
I see. Can we sign Roger's ass?
I bet he's willing to bring out the ass again since we're bringing it back into the show.
It's gonna have to happen.
I think it's Claudia that doesn't want us to do the
bring. She never does.
Yeah. We haven't. He's really put a tight lid on the ass for quite some time now.
Hey, well, there was an ass episode.
Was? No, I left that.
We'll get to talk about it on the show next week.
There was an ass episode.
He was chasing some seagulls out there in the parking lot.
With his ass?
Well, he doesn't have much of a waist. And his pants fell down and it tripped him.
Oh, no.
And it was like, yeah, ass and elbows. But he'll give you the details next week.
Sounds good to me. Yeah.
Please tell me somebody recorded it.
Right?
No, but Roger, he tells a pretty good story.
The hell are we paying Kim Shimke for? She can't even get video of Roger's pants falling down.
This is much later. Everybody left.
I see. I'm still going to have a talk. All right, let's get out of here and we'll see you next week. Are we good, JP?
Yep.
All right, thanks everybody. It's a great show. Thanks for coming out to the Hop Grenade, and we'll be back next Monday at 6.
Thank you to our show sponsor, More Beer. You can get absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home by going to morebeer.com. Thanks to Susan Root and Kurt Stock for coming on and talking mead with us tonight. It's the grand opening of the Hop Grenade. Come out this August 3rd and help us celebrate. Follow JP on Twitter at Major Dip to learn all the things you never wanted to know. For some good beer insight and homebrew info, follow Nate Smith at Nathan Homebrews and Mike McDowell at Tasty McD. Warren wasn't even here today, so that was cool. Production director on the session has been Push Eject. Today's show has been produced by Scott Moskowitz. JP was drinking mead. Bebo was drinking mead. And your host was Justin Crossley. Be sure to find the Brew Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And winning the race, JP does great as his chair.